Network News, I'm Corey Morris. A handful of American troops have been injured after Iraqi resistance forces attacked a convoy of soldiers about 40 miles north of Baghdad over the weekend. The attack came as U.S. soldiers launched a new major offensive against armed supporters of Saddam Hussein. Major Sean Gibson says the mission, named Operation Desert Scorpion, is supposed to identify Ba'ath Party loyalists and others who have recently been launching attacks on U.S. forces.
A key element of this is following those operations, we'll also conduct various civil affairs and humanitarian assistance operations, intent being to be quickly get Iraq basically back on its feet and make it a better place to live.
The operation started Saturday night with soldiers searching houses in the town of Fallujah and also distributing food and supplies. American Special Envoy to the Middle East, John Wolf, is meeting Israeli leaders in Jerusalem in an attempt to push forward the peace process. That meeting comes as French Foreign Minister Dominique Delville-Pan says his government will discuss the possibility of sending European Union peacekeepers to the Middle East region. More from correspondent Suzanne Chislett.
It's a day of intense negotiations as U.S. Envoy John Wolf meets with Israeli chiefs, while Palestinian Prime Minister Abu Mazen holds talks with militant groups in Gaza to try to persuade them to observe a ceasefire. The latest round of discussions comes after a week of violence which has left at least 60 people dead. The talks are expected to focus on two plans to move the peace process forward: the Israeli withdrawal from part of Gaza for which the Palestinian Authority would assume responsibility for security, and a ceasefire between the Israeli army and Hamas. Suzanne Chislett reporting.
And North Korea today is telling the U.S. to quite simply mind its own business. North Korean officials are upset over U.S.-led efforts to crack down on suspected trafficking in drugs and other contraband. America and its allies say Pyongyang is exporting narcotics, counterfeit money, and missile technology to help fund North Korea's nuclear weapons plans and also to boost its sagging economy. The official North Korean news agency, though, says the U.S. is guilty of drug crimes involving, quote, not only beggars and slums, but its presidents.
What's the big news in allergy medicine this season? It's a new name in non-drowsy relief, Allevert. New Allevert starts dissolving the instant it touches your tongue, without water. So you can take Allevert inside, outside, in your car, wherever you are. Allevert is non-drowsy 24-hour relief in a quick-dissolving tablet. New Allevert. Allergy medicine you can take right when you need it, wherever you are. Allevert. Use as directed.
This is Dr. Danny. Paul, you're on the air.
Hey, Dr. Danny.
Hey.
Man, listen. We're having a hard time potty training our son.
Well, that's a common problem. How old is your boy?
He's 26.
Paul, I have some bad news. At this age, potty training will be near impossible.
You kidding me?
No, but Paul, I do have some good news.
All right, man. What?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
The Medicare debate heads to the full Senate today. At issue is adding prescription drug benefits to the Medicare program for seniors. A Senate panel last week approved a $400 billion package different from the president's plan, which would give most of the benefits to older Americans who switch to private managed care plans. The Supreme Court says now it's okay to force defendants to take antipsychotic medications if those drugs will make a person competent to stand trial. The justices also wrote the medications can only be administered in serious criminal trials under limited circumstances that would serve the government's trial-related interests.
And we're playing all your favorites, but right now I have a pair of free tickets to tonight's big concert for the third caller. Oh, let's go to the phone lines. They are heating up, and let's see. Hello.
Hello.
Is this Ms. Shannon Johnson?
Yes, yes it is.
Oh, you sound very excited.
I am.
Well, Ms. Johnson, I have good news.
I'm the third caller.
No, I just saved a load of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Increased security and scare tactics helped to curb anti-regime protests that had put Iran's capital on edge since early last week. But news reports now say demonstrations and violence have spread to take place elsewhere in the country. And one person has actually been killed in protests in the southern city of Shiraz. More from correspondent Roxana Saberi.
In Tehran, thousands of cars turned out for the fifth night of protests. Many have been calling for reforms or an end to the Islamic Republic's clerical regime. But heightened security and attacks by armed vigilantes largely prevented cars from honking their horns and protesters from gathering in the capital. Some university students say vigilantes who support Iran's Supreme Leader Ayatollah Khamenei stormed their dorm Saturday night. Scores of people have been injured in the clashes and many have been arrested. Many students believe the protests will gain more momentum as the anniversary approaches on July 9th of student protests 4 years ago, which were brutally suppressed. Roxana Saberi, Tehran.
And I'm Corey Morris, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, Bob Elias with today's Car Clinic Minute. Anti-lock brakes, seat belts, and airbags. All ounces of prevention safety that equip today's cars. But when we come back, I'll tell you where there's a pound of cure, just in case you need it.
Asphalt, rubber, metal, speed. This is racing for Tony Stewart, Dale Earnhardt Jr., Matt Kenseth, and John Andretti. There's one more key to racing. Champion spark plugs. They race different makes of cars. Chevy, Pontiac, Dodge, Ford. But they all trust Champion because they all have the same destination, the winner's circle. Champion powers all.
Be sure to ask your service technician or auto parts retailer for Champion spark plugs.
Today's technology-equipped cars are designed to prevent accidents. But when they happen, it's technology again, this time to the rescue. 1,000 cars in upstate New York are testing automated collision notification. This system uses in-vehicle sensors to detect a crash and then employs a satellite and cellular phone system to relate the severity and location of the accident directly to 911. After receiving this information, the operator then opens a voice line and dispatches emergency assistance. Wow, that sounds like 2 pounds of cure to me. I'm Bobby Likas, brought to you by Champion, the world's favorite spark plug.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Welcome to the Peter Werbe Show, where we dare to connect the dots. Call now at 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Peter.
Thank you very much. And, hey, where we actually dare to bring Peter Werbe back to the microphone. Hi, Jalene Jordan.
Peter, welcome back.
Thank you. The hardliest working man in show business returns from another ill-deserved vacation.
No, you deserve
it. Wait, I hear some applause. Let me see. Maybe it's way in the back. There we go. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Finally, he's back to work. Congratulations.
I was out. I can't remember the Bob Dylan line. I was out on the side of 12 Misty Mountains. Is that it?
I
think
so. I don't
know. That's kind of an obscure one.
You're the guy with the lyrics. I don't do that thing.
Yeah, actually, that's not an obscure tune. That's like, what's the famous Dylan songs? I'm losing it already. I've only been back here about a minute and a half.
It's tough for you to focus. I mean, you have been
hard rain's
going to
fall. Right. I have been.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
So
hard rain's going to fall. That was it. I was out on the side of 12 Misty Mountains up on an island out in the Atlantic, northern part of the hemisphere, though not down in the South Seas where you love to go and where I've never been.
But you will.
I will. Oh, yeah. I'm looking forward to that. Yeah, that sounded like bitter, didn't it?
Yeah. No, really, Peter. You know you're invited anytime.
You know where I was when you-know-who fell off you-know-what? Let me go back on that.
What?
You know where I was, Peter Werbe, when George W. Bush fell off his Segway motor scooter?
Oh,
or
the
scooter?
Thing that used to be called, remember they called it the It or
yeah.
It or whatever, yeah.
Now it's a Segway. You know where I was the moment he fell off?
Where?
I was in Kennebunkport, Maine.
So maybe it was telepathic.
Not too far from the Bush compound.
Did you will that to happen, Peter?
I did not. I would not do that to anyone. In fact, I don't think I need to. I have a sheet here. I forgot who sent this in to me. But this is like a Segway promo sheet, and it says, "Welcome to the evolution in mobility. Cover more ground, be more productive, move more intelligently."
Didn't work for him.
Then it shows those photographs of Bush falling over backwards, then falling frontwards, then almost falling right on his face, and then kind of collecting himself and running forward. Now, you could say, well, what are you making fun of the guy for? It could happen to anybody, right?
I'd probably fall.
Well, I don't know. Here's what it says about the Segway. There are 2 computers and 5 gyroscopes inside the Segway that watches you to see if you're falling forward or backward.
Oh.
It then calculates how much power to apply on its 4 motors to keep you on the platform. It repeats this process about 100 times per second.
In fact, what you're saying is that the Segway doesn't like George W. Bush either.
It must not. Yeah, you know, maybe it'd be like one of those science fiction things. When the machine takes over,
yeah,
it has a mind of its own, like HAL.
It seems to have.
Yeah, in 2001, or a lot of these others. Let me see. There was the Forbin Project. Man, that was a scary
That's kind of a real obscure cult film. But these two doomsday computers, one in the Soviet Union, one in the United States, mm-hmm. they link up and they start talking to one another, and finally they start making demands of humanity. Anyways, here's the final thing. George W. Bush falling on his butt almost off the Segway motors. What do you call it? Just scooter. In fact, that's really, it talks about
like a
how
transporter.
Yeah, the process is adjusted about 100 times per second. And it says, in fact, that's really the Segway's sole mission in life. It wants to keep you balanced on top of it.
Well, I don't know what to say about this.
I know.
I've seen that they use them backstage at a lot of the big music venues now to get around.
They do.
Yeah, yes. And these people seem to have no problem being around back
well,
there.
His dad didn't. He was riding with his dad. You know what's going on? I mean, George W. Bush, maybe, I don't know what to say. Should he never take a vacation? But, I mean, here are U.S. soldiers getting shot, killed, ambushed, shooting and killing people in Iraq. Bush having announced about a month ago that all the shooting was all over, that the conflict was at an end. And what do you get? I mean, he's off on vacation, fishing and golfing.
And golfing.
This day is getting worse all the time.
Darn, I only got one birdie today. Sorry, Dad, did I let you down?
I bet you can't guess who is operating the boards.
John Lucas.
You got it. Yeah.
Thank you.
All right, and he's also going to be our phone screener today. You can call 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. Now, there's an article that was just sent to me by, I mean, how do these people get it before I do? I'm supposed to be the talk show host, right?
Well, I don't know. They're good.
Yeah. This is from Shelby. Oh, yeah, Shelby does radiopower.org.
Right.
Yeah.
And that is where you can listen to the show, and, you can listen live, right?
Yeah, if you go to ieamericaradio.com and you're getting, like, bumped off because we have so many listeners beyond, actually, the carrying capacity of our streaming. I mean, we just can't keep widening it all the time. I mean, it's...
We've done it a few times.
We've done it a few times. We maybe should do it more. But here is the headline. Iraq slowly descending into chaos. In wake of raid, these are these raids that are going on. In fact, one is going on now, apparently, or just went on a few hours ago. Iraqis speak of revenge, fear tribal reprisal.
What are these raids? I mean, what? It's insanity.
Yeah. Yeah, this is all throughout Iraq. And if you notice, they say they want to root out, and they have different names. Militants, that's an across-the-board pre-death category.
Saddam sympathizers.
Yes. Now, think about that. Saddam sympathizers. They have no idea what is motivating these people.
How can they tell by one village or who is the sympathizer and who's not? And what does that mean to be a Saddam sympathizer? Does it mean that this is your country and you feel that what's being done to your country is bad?
Well,
you know?
It used to be in Vietnam, if you were dead, you were a Viet Cong. Because if you weren't a Viet Cong, you wouldn't be dead.
Right. I gotcha.
And in fact, let's see. I thought there was. Oh yeah. Shelby writes in. The subject is Shades of Saigon, Vietnam.
Yeah.
And they're talking about this young man, Hashim Mohammed Ani. They're talking about how he often sat before a birdcage he had built of scrap wood and a loose lattice of chicken coop wire. A chubby 15-year-old with a mop of curly black hair and a face still rounded by adolescence, he was quiet, painfully shy. Then they go on talking about him for hours every day. Outside a house perched near the riverbank, the youngest of the six children languidly watched his four canaries in Nightingale. By the way, this is from the Washington Post Foreign Service. On Monday morning, after a harrowing raid into this town where he was by U.S. troops that deployed gunships, armored vehicles, and soldiers, edgy with anticipation, the family found Annie's body, two gunshots to his stomach next to a bale of hay and a rusted can of vegetable oil.
Yeah, so who was he?
He was this 15-year-old boy.
Right, I'm saying, so what? Needlessly killed.
With soldiers occupying a house nearby, his corpse lay undisturbed for hours under a searing sun. Lieutenant Arthur Jimenez, who commanded a platoon of the 4th Infantry Death near the house, said he did not know the details of Hashim's death, but he feared the boy was unlucky. He said that person was probably in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Oh, jeez. Regrettable.
Regrettable. So this is Shades of Vietnam. This is Shades of the raids that the Israelis carry out against the Palestinians that wind up not only killing somebody from Hamas, allegedly from Hamas, we never know that because they're blown to smithereens, but two-year-olds, grandfathers, women. This is what indelibly marks the occupier for eternal hatred.
Yeah.
And this is what George W. Bush while he's going on his little vacation, you know, up to the Bush compound where all these millionaires hang out, and the working class kids are in Iraq killing and being killed.
And probably scared poopless.
Yeah, well, it says, yeah. I mean, how would you feel? It's, you know, it is the Vietnam syndrome where you don't, the whole country begins to become aligned towards you. And you'll see all these photographs, for instance, and you even read these accounts how, you know, troops are cheered or they're, you know, smiling kids are getting water or candy bars from our soldiers. But always what the troops in Vietnam said, that's what they said to your face as soon as you turned around, you know.
Yeah.
It altered. Hey, any comments on this? 1-800-TALK. Yes, Peter Werby and Jalene Jordan here. I slept under a full moon on Saturday night. So,
really?
You know, there's no telling what could happen.
Oh.
Yeah, I woke up and I'm going, wow, what's that bright light and shining in this big window of this place we were staying in is that full moon, and it stayed there for the longest time.
So you didn't sleep outside, actually?
No. But I tried to swallow the moon.
Well, lovely.
Well, I mean,
so you.
I'm telling you, I could be weird today.
Why can't people walk down the street naked?
I can just see you doing that,
right.
Peter.
Here, more of these reports are coming in. U.S. troops raid homes west of Baghdad. In the outskirts of Ramadi, about 18 miles farther west, troops seize four brothers from one home and two brothers from a neighboring family. Again, this sounds just like the Israelis. There were no immediate reports of injuries in the raid. In the Ramadi area, the families were still sleeping when the armored column rumbled into their village at 5:15 a.m., blaring an Arabic language warning from loudspeakers. These are coalition forces. Please stay in your homes and open your doors. Thank you for your cooperation. Troops bound men and women in the two houses with plastic handcuffs and moved them to a nearby field while they searched the homes, residents said. They found one rifle, which is permissible. Right.
Yes.
And the Omar Sharif Salih, an older brother, the detainee, said someone must have informed on us, although he denied that his arrested brothers, aged 20 to 30, were engaged in anti-American activities. And again, what does that mean, anti-American activities? Does it mean that they were involved in armed activities or political activities? Because there is a good number of people, and you go through these accounts and you see that they say, we're glad that Saddam Hussein is gone. Now get out of our country. They want, many of them want, like, for instance, an Islamic Republic. Others just don't want to be occupied by a foreign nation.
And have their villages, their communities wiped out,
mm-hmm.
one by one.
And this article from the Toronto Star, whole family dies in clash with U.S. Remember that thing it said there was 27 killed? Actually, it was 7, mostly civilians killed in clash. Well, there was no clash. They just opened fire on these people, killed this grandfather and his grandsons.
Just a rampage. You know?
Yeah. Well, but see, it comes with the territory. If you invade a country under false pretext, if you make up this monstrous lie, Weaponsgate, of course, that there, you know, there are no weapons of mass destruction, it's really this long-range right-wing agenda to occupy Iraq and command its oil, to have regime change of a regime you once supported but now have turned that into this pariah to give you almost the excuse to invade, well, you go in there, and this is what comes with it. And you don't know who's your enemy and who's your friend. And shots could come from anywhere. So it all begins to make kind of a twisted, grotesque logic. Because, you know what? Just like in Vietnam, they'd say, any mama-san could have had a gun or a grenade under their skirt. Well, some of them did. So they had these slogans like, kill them all, let God sort them out.
Ugh.
And this is what then the occupying power becomes. This is the transformation of the level of morality that that the troops, the occupiers, carry with them. Whether it's in, no matter what occupiers anywhere, there's a
horrible,
yeah,
including those poor service guys who, if they make it out alive, they're going to come back and deal with the same thing that these Vietnam vets have dealt with. I mean, I don't know if not to that scale, right? And we're going to have a guest actually next hour from the Gulf War Resource Center, who is going to be on the show.
Yeah, and he fought in the Gulf War I. And one of the things, of course, is the, you know, you, quote, serve your country, and then your country doesn't serve you when you come back. And that's why you find such an extraordinary number of homeless Vietnam vets. That's why you find... that's struggling to get some medical attention at these horrible VA hospitals.
Yeah.
All right, we'll take some calls. Got some people waiting. If you're on hold, please stay there. Peter Werby and Jalene Jordan. I've been I'm back after about a week's vacation, so I'm ready to get back into it. Please join us.
Nice drive, Jim.
Thanks. You know, I wish my business plan was a straight. We just can't grow anymore with our current facility. I've looked at the price to build, but I'm afraid to spend the money.
Jim, I've known you since you've started your business. You succeeded because you made tough decisions and took risks.
Well...
Look, I had the same problem, but I called General Steel Corporation. The general helped me build my new office and warehouse, and I stayed within my budget. I couldn't believe the time and money I saved compared to traditional construction.
That's a steel building?
It sure is, but with the stucco and rock products provided by the general, you just can't tell. They engineered the building for this area and to fit my needs. When the economy rebounds, I'll be ready to gain market share.
Save time and money with a General Steel building. Call toll free 1-866-96-STEEL. Whether you need a 40 by 60 for under $13,000 or a 60 by 200 for under $49,000, call 1-866-96-STEEL. If you need space, you need the general. Call 1-866-96-STEEL today.
Do you want to own a computer but have less than perfect credit? Bad credit? No credit? No problem. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved. Guaranteed. You heard right. You're approved for a brand new name brand computer. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now. If you can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, you're already approved. Guaranteed. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now and tell us where you want your brand new name brand computer delivered. If you can afford $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, your brand new state-of-the-art PC will be on its way. Guaranteed. Bad credit, no problem. Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved for the computer of your dreams. Guaranteed. Call right now, 1-800-823-0157.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
Tired of the same old conservative blather on talk radio? Want a different slant on politics in the world than what's offered up by right-wing wacko talk show hosts? Then join me, Peter Werbe, 2 to 5 p.m. It's my new time, that's Eastern time, weekdays, for an alternative not often heard on the AM band. If you want to hear a talk show host that opposes Bush's wars, challenges corporate rule, defends the interests of working people, the environment, and a woman's right to choose, then join me, Peter Werbe, in my new time slot, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern time.
Mike Malloy is rational and, you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired, too?
I mean, I hate the guy.
And you hate me?
True.
You hate me?
Why not put something on that says he's a great goof liberal?
Goof?
You know, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, on IE America Radio Network.
Show. It's Peter Werbe. Call now at 1-800-TALK-YES. 1-800-825-5937.
Thank you very much, Jillian Jordan. Welcome back to you as well.
Thank you, Peter.
Now, we have an email for you as well. CallTalkYes@yahoo.com. Chris wrote in, I have the following on my bumper sticker now. It reads on the left side with white on blue, when Clinton lied, nobody died. and right is white on red, yeah. And reads, "When Bush lied, our soldiers died."
I love that.
Yeah. Also, we were talking earlier about Bush falling off the Segway. This is this little scooter, actually not so little, but it has, it readjusts itself 100 times per second. It has two computers and five gyroscopes on board, and it says its sole mission in life, it wants to keep you balanced on top of it. GW fell off.
What you're saying, Peter, is it's not... Hey, I have an echo in my ear, by the way, John.
Okay.
It's not difficult to ride, is what you're saying.
Well, it's everything is done, so it's easy to ride. You know, the old man didn't fall off, right?
Right, exactly. Thank you, John. It's gone.
Here's
He seemed to handle it okay. And how old is he?
About 80 or something, yeah. Now, Mike from Annandale, I don't know what state that's in, he said the Bushies had two Segways. That's a price tag of almost $10,000 or almost $5,000 a piece.
Pocket change.
Yeah. that's right. Here's Phil in Florida. Phil, it's Peter Werby and Jalene Jordan at 1-800-TALK-YES. Welcome.
Hi. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Good to hear you.
Thank you.
And I think I speak for thousands of people.
I hope so. I hope it's millions. Okay.
I'm not privy to all those specs.
All right.
But you were talking about, you know, the consequences of taking over a country. Now, I know you don't watch the mainstream media very much.
No.
But there was a devastating story on 60 Minutes last night.
Really?
And it was a story about when Nixon, who else, was the prez, they decided that we needed a nice island to confiscate to make it into a B-52 base. And we picked Diego Garcia.
Right.
10,000 kilometers away from the United States, but who's counting, right?
Sure, sure.
And apparently Diego Garcia was part of the old British Empire. And we made some kind of a deal for atomic submarines or something like that, if you will give us this island. So in cooperation with the British, there were something like only 1,200 native islanders who had lived there for generations and generations. They grew palm trees and used the products and the palm meat, you know, to support themselves. They had a small little business, for lack of a better term.
Okay.
This is what we did. With the cooperation of the British, we announced to these people that they were leaving their homes. We were their island. We had taken over. We rounded their.
Mm-hmm.
We made a mini. We attached the house pipe to one of our military vehicles, and we killed them all.
You're making this up.
No. Then we took the 1,200 inhabitants. We told them they couldn't take anything with them, and then we put them on either a plane or a boat and dropped them off at some other island like over 1,000 miles away and made them homeless.
Now, what year was this?
This was 30 years ago.
Okay.
So it would have been, what, 73?
Well, this happened in the late 40s and early 50s, too.
No, 70s.
No, wait a minute. Let me finish. I was saying this happened also in the late 40s and early 50s when the United States wanted to test its hydrogen bombs out in the Pacific.
Oh, the Bikini Atoll?
Yeah, a number of them. Right.
Yeah. Well, so, and the reason, and this report was done by Amancourt. What's her first name?
What's my first name?
No, her first name. She was from CNN.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know that, Julie.
And I can always stumble on her name. But in any event, an attorney took this issue to court in Britain, and the British courts decided that, yes, these people had been wronged. Unfortunately, he didn't award any damages. Now they're suing the U.S. government. And the Bush administration has reiterated that they don't want the people to go back, not even to visit the graves of their families. And basically, they say they're just out of luck.
Wow.
If this isn't a Nazi type of behavior.
Military priorities. I think that's what we're talking about here. And just like I said, that there's certain definitions that come with deciding to occupy a country like Iraq. When you have that kind of need for this imperial footprint across the world, well, that's what we wind up doing. Ugly. Ugly indeed.
Yeah.
Thank you, Phil. It's Jalene Jordan. I'm Peter Werby. We'll be right back. Hang on with us. Comments, 1-800-TALK-YES.
My cat Boots got stuck way up in a tree. My dad saw how scared I was. He climbed up there and got it down. I feel bad.
I know he hurt his back. I saw him call the doctor.
The moment of choice. What will the doctor give you, Tylenol or Advil? Truth is, doctors nationwide choose Advil most for muscle aches, strains, and sprains. Advil can give you longer-lasting relief than Tylenol on tough pain.
Boots is okay. Dad's feeling better.
How great is that?
For better relief, advance to Advil.
You're listening to The Peter Werby Show, 2 p.m. till 5 p.m. Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton.
Work for Coca-Cola, drink Pepsi on the job, and get fired? That's what happened last week to Rick Bronson, a 12-year delivery driver working out of Coke's distribution facility in Sylmar, California. Someone reported to management that Bronson was seen drinking a Pepsi on the job. Management then invoked an obscure company rule that prohibits employees' products, and in their view, drinking a Pepsi at work is member of the International Brotherhood of Teamsters, Local 848, and the union has filed unfair labor practice against Coke over the incident. It believes, by fact, he's active in union organizing campaigns with distributors.
25,000 unionized General Electric employees have a tentative new contract today. A coalition of GE unions struck the deal hours before averting a strike that could have followed as early as June 26th. No details have yet been released, but union leaders say the deal helps safeguard affordable health care, a top union priority.
Workers at the Whirlpool Corporation are reeling from the company's announcement of massive changes to retiree health benefits. Effective immediately, Whirlpool will only pay part of retirement health insurance costs for those workers over the age of 40. Current retirees are being given two choices, either sign up for one of two new health plans where they pay 20% of the premium or stay in the currently free plan where benefits will be slashed. Union workers at Whirlpool are not exempt from the changes, and although the unions involved must approve them, they're not in the best position to bargain. Over the last year, Whirlpool's announced the closure of some U.S. factories and is moving the work to China and Mexico. It has threatened to close more unless workers take wage and benefit cuts like this one.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice to the progressives? How can we create a shared day? I'll be exploring these and many other issues with a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls. We'll be talking about the stories behind news. That's the Tom Hartman Program, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time every Sunday. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com. And join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
There's no such thing as a political prisoner. All prisoners are political prisoners. All trials in America are political trials. And when you go into jail, you see that. Because you see that 90% of the people in jail are black. That's what you see. You see that 90% of the people are young. That's
Show. 1-800-TALK-YES. 1-800-825-5937.
Time. And Jalene Jordan, I'll bet you could guess for 3 weeks and you would never guess who that is.
Sheryl Crow.
No.
Really? Who is it?
Steve Earle.
Oh, well, you know, I'm going to get him out.
I know you are.
I am now in touch with his boss.
Okay.
Well no, wait. Kind of his boss. He's on that record label, Artemis.
Anyways, this is from Steve Earle's CD, Sidetracks, and it's from the remake of the old Chambers Brothers tune, Time Has Come Today. Got it a little modern, though.
But I think that might have been Sheryl Crow singing with him.
Okay, well, let me see.
Take a look, because it really sounded like her.
Sheryl Crow appears courtesy of A&M Records.
Thank you.
Jalene Jordan is so good. Wow.
I knew that was her.
Okay. And what was he talking about? Questioning authority on there. I didn't even get that part of it when I first listened to it.
Question
very cool.
Authority? Always.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And actually, that's tamed down. I mean, I really can't say what the original phrase was. But, okay, let's look at this. Michael R. Gordon's Friday, June 13th article. I was off in Never Never Land, in vacation land. And, you know, Jolene, I really got an idea about how a good portion of the people in America function. I barely looked at the news.
Yeah, right, exactly.
I was very isolated. I went up to this little store and I said, "Do you have the New York Times?" The guy said, "No."
And secretly he said, "Good."
Well, the first couple of days I didn't say good, but then I thought, "Whatever," you know. And I kept thinking, "What if the incident happens that will, this will be the one that'll prove my point." Well, you know, there's one a day. There's 10 a day.
You're funny, Peter. You have to let it go.
Yeah, we were in a cottage.
When you're on vacation.
We were in a cottage with no electricity, and so we had gas lamps and kerosene lamps. And
that's
so
cool.
And I was making a fire every morning. So it was actually pretty cool. We had a big fireplace. So I'd make a fire every morning. And so I'm looking at the New York Times of September 2002. And I'm thinking, here it all is. The same BS, the same lies, the same people saying the same, you know.
And you know this, man.
Right.
What, they had an old newspaper in your room? Is that what you're saying?
It was for starting fires.
Oh, gotcha.
Right.
Duh.
So anyways, here from last Friday's New York Times, the next war, according to Michael R. Gordon. The American thrust to Baghdad has toppled Hussein, although they call him Mr. Hussein. They always call everybody Mr.
Yes.
Mr. Hitler.
In the New York Times,
yeah.
Right.
Although it is not clear whether he was killed in the process or as they say in Canada, the process. I was listening. We were staying in Canada as well.
They were
killed in the process, wherever he, even if he might be, if he is alive. But the war also set the stage for a long, hot summer during which American commanders hope to consolidate their victory by hunting the hardliners from the old government run by Mr. Hussein and his Ba'ath Party and their friends. But as we were saying earlier, it ain't necessarily who's out there fighting. Because I'll tell you that there are all of these Islamic militants, to use their word, coming into Iraq. This is the next victory against the Western satanic devils, as far as they're concerned. Whether it is Afghanistan or Chechnya or wherever, they are going to be there. They are these international fighters for Islamic government. And this is who's being fought. They don't want Saddam Hussein back. Saddam Hussein had a secular government. Saddam Hussein was hated by these Islamic religious people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it says this struggle pits American forces against an array of Ba'athist paramilitary fighters, former Iraqi soldiers, and a steady trickle of foreign militants. Oh, here it is. Who have said to come to Iraq for the express purpose of killing American troops. Unlike the rush to Baghdad, this fight will not be measured in days, but in months, if not years. Well, that's sweet. In the meantime,
really,
they close cancer centers in Detroit. They close schools in Detroit. I'm broadcasting from Detroit nationally and internationally on the IE America radio network. If you live anywhere in America, the same thing is happening in your town.
Meanwhile, the oil, you know, they're protecting that and rebuilding all of those resources over there.
Yeah, they're sabotaging the oil lines. There's been sabotage against the Iraqi oil lines. Nor will it be decided in the power center of the capital. The new battlegrounds include Baghdad, but also extend far into the north and well to the west, areas that American forces did not cover in substantial numbers during the war. So imagine if this was your country and this was your hometown, and there was some foreign invading power that just had declared essentially your whole country and every town in it a specific battle point.
I just can't.
How many more American casualties are we going to have? How many more Iraqi civilian casualties like the ones now that come in every day? In fact, the reports have both come in every day.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. For the Americans, this is a campaign of raids, bombing strikes, and dragnets as American commanders try to isolate and destroy remnants of the old order. It is more like a counterinsurgency than an invasion. The American goal is to keep the pressure on and whittle down these fighters until a new Iraqi authority is able to maintain order. Well, this does sound a lot.
I don't see that even happening.
Yeah, no, things are getting worse. Where
at
was
this
that?
Point, right.
Yeah, what's the subtitle of that other one? In the wake of raid, Iraqis speak of revenge, fear, tribal reprisal. I mean, this is what we're looking at, folks. And you just look at these headlines. U.S. troops raid homes west of Baghdad. And, you know, they're complaining continually about the way women are treated. According to, let's see, Jassim Mohammed, we got rid of one problem, now we have a bigger one. Even Saddam never did this to us, as they talk about taking away their family members. U.S. convoy is ambushed in Iraq, wounding several soldiers. Whole family dies in clash with U.S., mostly civilians killed. And on. Mm. This is from the Toronto Star.
This is the new face of liberation.
Yeah, and they're also, the United States is training the police. I don't know if people heard that on National Pentagon Radio, NPR. They had this nice smiley face little account of how there were these patrols going out, and they called them mixed American-Iraqi patrols. How many Iraqis do you think were in it?
None.
One. One.
Or one. Okay.
So there was like six Americans, almost all, and actually, well, wait a minute, I'll get back to the Iraqis.
Well, did they need someone to interpret for
them? There you go. It wasn't even an Iraqi. It was an Iraqi-American.
Okay.
Who knew English and, you know, had been, I don't even know if he was in the service or what, you know, but he was over there trying to tell the people, don't be afraid of these men that are armed with automatic weapons that have, you know, bombed your city with, we'll have to go to the Iraqometer, won't we, in, on my website. You go to peterwerbe.com, PETERWERBE.com, and we have the Iraqometer, everything you want to know about Bush's illegal and unnecessary war against Iraq, and then it lists out for you the bombs dropped, 37,300 bombs. That's how many bombs were dropped. So these are your liberators. 5,600 civilian casualties, maybe as high as a couple thousand more. And it talks about oil wells secured. Coalition facility fatalities now are up to 221. You'll be pleased to know that they dropped 36 million leaflets there. And already we're up to $1,200 cost per taxpayer. So. Nice. Hey, yeah, remember that, folks, that we're getting this tax cut? Well, most of us are getting about $100 a year, and then you're getting charged $1,200 for this absolutely unnecessary war. So, that's what
a bad thing.
There. Here's Joe in Brookings, Oregon. Hey, Joe, you're on the air. Go ahead.
You were talking about what's considered to be un-American activities over in Iraq.
Yeah.
Well,
anti-American.
Yeah.
We're doing the un-American thing, according to the fascists.
By
daring to, to challenge the political wisdom of the gangsters in power.
Well, yeah. Do you know it's actually against the law in this country not to have your nose connected to President Bush's butt? Therefore, Tom Daschle is a great American.
I agree.
You got that right.
Yeah. Anyway, I want to talk about the recall effort against Governor Ass Clown of California.
Let's do this, though. Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
In which country can a tenant be evicted for protesting against the government?
A tenant? I don't know. How about here in the United States?
A renter, yeah. The United States of America. That's what the National Union of Hospital and Healthcare Employees in District 1199, based in Albuquerque, when they were evicted from their office on San Mateo Boulevard. Now, some of you listening to KTRC in Santa Fe or listening down near Albuquerque may want to... I got to ask the question again. In what country can a tenant be evicted for protesting against the government? Your answer, please, Joe.
I already answered you. I said the United States.
I know, but we didn't have the music going.
On,
oh, yes, the United
Joe.
States of America,
there
Alex.
You go.
What do I win?
Yeah, nothing.
Well, the hell with that.
Now, their landlord said, this is Carol Ventures Incorporated, the union had breached the terms of its lease by holding an anti-war demonstration. Now, the group also created a nuisance and interrupted other tenants' quiet enjoyment of the premises. The only thing was that the union, whereas it held an anti-war demonstration, but it was out at the intersection of San Mateo Boulevard and Cutler Avenue, not at its offices. So, there you go. All right, so you wanted to talk about, I can't even think of his real first name, Governor Gray.
Gray Davis.
Gray Davis, right, of
California,
and it looks like they're going to start a referendum that would remove him from office.
Yeah, and anyway, and you got these whiny, sniveling little Democrats, you know, going, oh God, oh, a Republican conspiracy and all that. I know for a fact, I'm right next to the California border. Everybody hates Gray Davis's guts. I mean, they absolutely hate that man. I don't know why the Democrats there in California were so stupid they couldn't get rid of him. You know, Gray Davis, they talk about how he was democratically elected. That's why this, this recall effort is a bunch of BS. Well, that's not true. Number one, Gray Davis, you know, he refused to debate the Green Party candidate last year. He went so far that to tell the Republican that in the race that the Green Party candidate participated, that he wouldn't participate in the debate himself. And Gray Davis went so far to run commercials against a moderate Republican candidate in the lead up to the Republican primary. What was Gray Davis doing getting himself involved in the Republican primary? He's not supposed to be a Republican, but I guess he got, like a lot of Democrats, like Bill Clinton and the rest of them, I guess he got confused.
All right. Well, thank you, Joe. Thanks for calling in from Brookings, Oregon. 1-800-TALK-YES. You want to bash the Democrats, Jalene Jordan?
Any day.
All right. Here.
How about the fact that Nancy Pelosi is one of the wealthiest Democrats?
Yeah. Where'd she get all her money? I just saw that.
I have to look into that.
Yeah. All right. Now, the Democrats are split on challenging Iraq arms hunt. It says here in the New York Times from June 14th, which would be what? Saturday. The war in Iraq is once again dividing the Democratic Party, with congressional leaders and presidential candidates struggling over how strongly to challenge President Bush about the failure so far to find biological or chemical weapons. Not a one of them has called it Weaponsgate the way they really should. One presidential candidate. Now, this is sounding real good. Senator Bob Graham of Florida went so far as to compare Bush and his fellow Republicans to Richard M. Nixon. Yeah, that's what I like to hear. After Republicans announced they would hold closed-door hearings on the weapons issue, Graham accused the administration of, quote, another shameful and dangerous display of secrecy, and suggested it had manipulated intelligence, quote, to sell the decision to go to war. Now, manipulated, I would say made up.
Yeah, created falsely.
Yeah. Now, even Senator Clinton, she said that that there are serious questions that have been raised that need to be answered. That's about as strong as she's going to get. You know, I mean, she supported the war resolution and
right.
everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
But other prominent Democrats, including such presidential contenders as Senator John Kerry of Massachusetts, John Edwards of North Carolina, and Joseph Lieberman of Connecticut, have struck a far more cautious tone with their aides, warning that such attacks could end up hurting the Democratic Party, depending on how events play out. Now, this is pure and simple opportunism.
Yeah.
It's
quite wimpy.
Yeah, it's disgusting. It's absolute. Don't say what you believe.
Yeah.
Don't bring forth the truth that we are at a constitutional crisis because of the blatant lies, the manufacturing of a crisis by George W. Bush that has now resulted in the deaths of thousands of people, American, British, and Iraqi people, because of a made-up story, a lie, I don't know how to say it. I guess you can't say it much stronger.
Fabrication.
I guess lie is. George W. Bush lied about all the reasons necessary to go to war. Tony Blair, the poodle, followed right along after him. Several polls have indicated the public remains largely supportive of the war and that people are not particularly concerned that weapons that Bush said would be found have not yet been located. I don't know why that is. Because they say at the end of this, the majority of the public does not believe that the Bush administration deliberately misled them. It's just stupidity.
Yeah, hey, I know. I just can't believe that people still believe this stuff.
Some of Dean's supporters said he would be vindicated if no weapons were found. At the same time, Graham, who is the latest entry into the presidential race, has attacked Bush's credibility with a directness that has startled some rivals who argued that Graham could be in political difficulty if weapons were discovered.
Oh,
they
please.
Can't be discovered because what they're talking about isn't storage of barrels of chemicals. It's not talking about research facilities. It's talking about weapons, and they ain't there. If they're not there in great numbers, if they weren't used, why wouldn't they be used? Why wouldn't they be used?
Exactly.
Yeah, because here you have these hardline Saddam Hussein supporters. Why aren't they using them? Maybe they don't know where they are either. Nobody knows where the weapons of mass destruction are. So here is this teeny little country that has no capacity whatsoever to fight back against the world's largest imperial military power. And when confronted by them, they drive pickup trucks and shoot AK-47s at tanks and at Apache helicopters.
Yeah, not much of a chance of them bringing him down, right?
Yeah, and also one uses the weaponries that they have. They say, oh well, they hit him away because they didn't want him to be found. What the hell would they care?
Yeah.
I mean, this was last ditch city.
Absolutely.
All right. We're going to take a break, and then I hope you'll join us as well. I'm with Jalene Jordan. I'm Peter Werby. And we're at 1-800-TALK-YES. We can continue to kick around Weaponsgate. And there's more really disgusting stuff ahead, too, because the medium has not stopped their plans to play us for a pack of fools. They did it in their reporting. They did it in the run-up to the war, and they intend to do it again. We'll talk more about it when we come back. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Daddy, can't we read a different book tonight?
Shh. We're just getting to the good part. To set the correct throttle position, loosen the pinch bolt to rotate the governor arm.
Have a passion for fixing things? Sears has over 4.5 million parts for all major brands of lawn equipment and home appliances. Call 1-800-4-MY-HOME. Click on Sears.com or come into a Sears Parts and Repair Center. Where can you find parts for all major brands, no matter where you bought them? Sears. Where else?
Wouldn't it be great if you could get everything you need for successful estate planning in one package? Well, now you can. The new Master Estate Kit offers a collection of legal power that would cost you $500 or more if prepared by a lawyer. Here's what you get. First, a legal will kit, one praised by nearly 500,000 buyers. Second, a living will kit that assures your wishes will be followed in case of an irreversible injury or illness. And third, a power of attorney kit that includes all the required forms. Order today and we'll include the new Family Legal Guide. It answers all your questions about small claims court, landlord agreements, personal bankruptcy, and much more. An $80 value, the complete Master Estate Kit costs only $39.95. For immediate delivery of the Master Estate Kit and your free family legal guide, call 1-800-221-0393. Pay only $39.95 plus shipping. Every kit carries an unlimited money-back guarantee. Call 1-800-221-0393 now. That's 1-800-221-0393.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
Show. Well, let's move on to somebody who is evil but very bright. That would be Ari Fleischer at the briefing today.
The job of anybody who is the White House press secretary is to faithfully articulate what the president is thinking and why he's thinking it. And that's what I do for a living.
Yeah, right. The job of the press secretary is to faithfully articulate what the president is thinking?
When do I get to my Game Boy? Hey, it's time for lunch. I want to take a nap. How do you spell Putin? Let me see. Who's the president of Afghanistan?
You know he tried to kill my dad?
Oh, my God. There's Laura with my milk.
Faithfully articulate what the president is thinking?
Alrighty, then.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werby and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to ieamericaradio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS.
Peter Werby Show, 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937.
We're listening to you, Edwin Starr, and it's becoming more clear every day. I mean, for a while, the warmongers, the flag wavers had it all in their corner, but you know, Jalene Jordan, as we see the effort there in Iraq start to collapse and the civilian deaths, the more deaths and injuries of U.S. troops, well, war, what is it good for? Absolutely nothing. Hey, we're going to play Jim Hightower right now. It's Jim Hightower on the Peter Werby Show, America's favorite populist.
Sherwood Baylert is a member of Congress and, despite that, not a bad guy. He's a New York Republican who's been in the House for more than 20 years, and he loves the place. Fine. It's said that some people who muck manure for a living come to love the smell, so everyone to their own taste. But I thought Sherwood had been sniffing the congressional perfumes a bit too deeply when he recently declared that the House is, quote, the one institution in the whole wide world that's the personification of this great democracy of ours. Democracy? The great majority of Americans are factory workers, clerks, cab drivers, dirt farmers, teachers, Main Street merchants, programmers, waitresses, health care workers, and the like. How many of them serve in Congress, or are even marginally represented by those who serve there? About 70% of Americans make less than $50,000 a year. How many of our Congress critters go to Washington from such an income perspective? Indeed, the U.S. Public Interest Research Group reports that nearly half of the newly elected members of Congress are millionaires, which 99.5% of Americans are not. And if the House is so representative of our people, why didn't we get a pay raise 4 of the last 5 years as they gave themselves? Why don't we have top-flight health coverage paid for by taxpayers as they do? Why don't we get golden, no-worry pensions as they do? Phil Graham is one example of congressional apartness from the rest of America. The Texas senator, who just retired, opposed any government program to help regular folks while he slavishly served the corporate powers that financed his elections. He became a millionaire while in office. And now that he's out, we the people will send him a retirement check of $78,534 every year. He'll get more doing nothing than 80% of us will make working day in and day out. This is Jim Hightower saying, that's the personification of plutocracy, not of democracy.
All right, thank you, Jim Hightower, on the Peter Werby Show. Jalene Jordan, we're going to be right back. If you're on hold, please stay there, because we're taking lots of calls and we come back. We'll also talk about Saving Private Lynch. It's another scam. I'm Peter Werby. Hang in there.
Listening to the Peter Werby Show on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
Peter Werby Show is now airing at a new time. Hi, it's Jalene Jordan. The IE America Radio Network has added many exciting new shows to the lineup, and in doing so, the Peter Werby Show has a new time slot. It's weekdays, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we share with you progressive views about peace and social justice that you won't find in the corporate and conservative media. Join us 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern on the IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to www.ieamericaradio.com.
At Animal Talk, we think deep thoughts. We think about things that most people don't think about, such as, do dogfish chase catfish? Do jellyfish taste good with peanut butter? These are things that bother us. Why is it that Donald Duck doesn't wear any pants, but when he comes out of the shower, he wraps a towel around his waist?
Dude, you need a hobby.
Oh.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Erica Kane. Investigators with the National Transportation Safety Board want to know why a charter fishing vessel that capsized off the Oregon coast over the weekend was out to sea despite a small craft advisory being in effect. The boat capsized, killing 9 of the 19 people on board. 2 others are missing and presumed dead. The U.S. military is reporting that rocket-propelled grenades were fired at U.S. forces in Iraq, wounding at least 4 Americans.
The U.S. military says in one incident, a rocket-propelled grenade was fired at a U.S. Army convoy, missing its target but hitting a civilian bus. The U.S. troops then fired on the attackers. The U.S. military says 2 Americans were injured, but it's not known how many people were hurt on the bus. In the second incident, U.S. soldiers fired back after being targeted by rocket-propelled grenades. 2 Americans were injured there. This comes as the U.S. military steps up its sweep through areas west of Baghdad, arresting those suspected of anti-American activities and searching for illegal weapons. Laura Iyama, Washington.
The American soldier accused of a deadly grenade attack in Kuwait during the early days of Operation Iraqi Freedom will likely not know his fate until June 27th.
That's when Article 32 investigating officer Patrick Reinert's report is due. He could recommend court-martial for Sergeant Hussein Akbar. He's charged with 3 counts of attempted murder and 2 of premeditated murder. A hearing is underway at Fort Knox, Kentucky. Testimony this morning indicated Akbar was the last soldier guarding a truck full of grenades on March 27th. Second. He was also unaccounted for at the time of the attack. I'm Mary Perrin.
Talks aimed at getting the major Palestinian militant groups to go along with a ceasefire have failed. Following 2 days of negotiating, Egyptian envoys say Islamic extremist groups, including Hamas, will continue to endorse attacks on Israelis if military actions continue against their leaders. More news in a moment.
They left their farms and factories, their offices and classrooms. 16 million Americans in uniform. 400,000 gave their lives for freedom. For the first time, young women eagerly entered the workforce to supply the arsenal the world depended on for victory. But this was no faceless mass that went to war. They were my relatives and yours, our fathers and mothers, our grandparents and next-door neighbors. They were our family's heroes. And yet, unbelievably, there's no national monument anywhere to honor the amazing generation that won World War II. I'm Tom Hanks. Please help build the National World War II Memorial on the Mall in Washington, D.C. Call 1-800-639-4WW2. That's 1-800-639-4992. It's time to say thank you.
A public service message from the American Battle Monuments Commission, the Ad Council, and this station.
An investigation of Firestone Steel Tech's will not be reopened by federal regulators. A source close to the case says the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration has been trying to decide if more than 27 million heavy-duty Steel Tech's R4S, R4S2, and AT tires should be investigated for a possible recall. A class action lawsuit accuses Bridgestone, the parent of Firestone, of concealing defects in the brand. More after this.
You don't want to be late for your golf lesson, or else you'll never learn how to outdrive your girlfriend. So you probably want to make something quick for dinner. Think fast, think eggs. Like poached eggs over French bread topped with your favorite chunky salsa. They're delicious, easy to make, and ready in minutes. So you make it on time, the pro adjusts your grip, and now you're driving the ball 250 yards. All thanks to the incredible edible egg. Think fast, think eggs. For other quick dinner ideas, visit AEB.org, the American Egg Board.
At least one medical expert feels the scare over the monkeypox virus is much ado about nothing.
Virginia Tech pathobiology professor Tomas Tote says although monkeypox virus is scaring a lot of people, it is not a new disease. Tote says it has been around for years in places like Africa. It's getting a lot of attention now because it is showing up in the U.S. Tote says the name monkeypox is not accurate either because it does not cause any serious illness in primates. Tote also says that since researchers have discovered that the disease spreads from prairie dogs to humans, the way to prevent its spread is to stop keeping prairie dogs as pets. Since the disease does not easily transmit from human to human, Tote does not expect an epidemic of the disease. Kathy Culpepper, Blacksburg.
For the second time in franchise history, the San Antonio Spurs are NBA champions. The Spurs staged an 88-77 come-from-behind victory over the visiting New Jersey Nets to win the NBA Finals at 4-2. I'm Erica Kane, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Clippity-clop, clippity-clop. Does your car sound like the Clydesdales in Fast Forward? The problem could be unhealthy joints. No, not the horses, your cars. When we come back, I'll tell you all about it. We've all seen the tornado device on TV and wondered if it really worked. I was also skeptical at first until we tested 6 tornado units. And in every case, we got more miles per gallon and felt more power. Gasoline's expensive, so when we find something that saves us money, it just makes sense to get it. Call 800-500-8880 and order your tornado unit today. Or visit tornadoair.com. That clacking could be a sign of old age in your car's CV or constant velocity joints. These flexible joints allow drive shafts and axles to steer cars smoothly. But if they don't function properly, axles could freeze up or even fall off. How do you recognize faulty CV joints? Hopping and clicking when turning and clunking when accelerating are classic signs. And if you can create these noises by putting your car in reverse and backing in a circle, your CV joints are really aching. So communicate these symptoms to your technician. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Daring to connect the dots. It's the Peter Werby Show. Call 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Peter.
Thanks a lot and welcome back. Hey, Jalene Jordan, welcome back to you as well.
Thank you, Peter. It's good to be back. Good to have you back from vacation.
Well, thank you. You know, I was in this little isolated town. I was in a... I was on an island in a little town.
Beautiful.
And there was no electricity. And you really get an idea of what the waste we generate is all about because we had to pack it in, we had to pack it out, and there wasn't any little can we could just put it in and have it disappear.
Right, right, right.
Lots of recycling and also a lot of the isolation. Really, in this case, I really couldn't help it. But I got the sense in the manner in which most people absorb news. In other words, they hear a headline now and again. It would say, you know, armor-mounted American troops swept through towns and villages west of Baghdad after dawn Monday, arresting suspected resistance leaders and searching for outlawed weapons. And then the next story, right?
Right.
So
right,
what is one to make of that? You don't even get down to this story that I'm reading from in Reuters. It said families of those arrested warned that resistance would only increase.
Wow.
So you have the
kind. Think?
Yeah, I mean, look at the way Israel has pummeled the West Bank and Gaza. Look at the assassinations. Look at the children that have been killed by the Israelis and all supported by our tax dollars. And has that seemed to have stilled the hand of those that would attack Israel through suicide bombing and whatever means else they can muster? Not a bit.
You know, it's a real big deal in the headlines down here in South Florida because there is a large Jewish population. And you don't hear when the Palestinians are killed over there, but it's a headline when the Israelis are killed by a suicide bomber.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, one of my friends down here is Jewish, and one day I called him and he said, "Oh my gosh, did you hear another suicide bomber?" You know,
yeah.
And so I've had these conversations with him, and that's something living down here that maybe he never saw another side. And it's something that's just very, I think, intriguing, yet very disturbing and conflicting
mm-hmm.
to him.
Mark in Cleveland, Ohio, wrote into calltalkyes@yahoo.com. Watched Meet the Press yesterday and heard something very disturbing. The spokesman for Israel was saying that they will continue to use preemptive strikes against Hamas targets, using the U.S. example of strikes against Iraq as an example in comparison.
Great.
Mark says, although I'm a supporter of Israel, this is the first time I have heard anyone from Israel use this term. How could we now chastise another country for using preemptive strikes when all they could say is, well, the U.S. did it, so why can't we?
It's true.
Yeah. What is there to stop India from bombing Pakistan or vice versa while using the preemptive excuse? The war has started a very bad precedent. And Jalene, you ready? Ready for this? Jalene was great in your absence, but welcome back.
Thank you. I'm glad you're back, Peter. You know, I love filling in for you. Don't get me wrong. But it is, it's quite a task to produce and host your own show and for a whole week, and I need you.
Yeah, well,
don't go away again for a while.
You do it all.
My turn.
You know, you don't have a me on there. Actually, you had Billy on, didn't you?
I had him on one day a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
You know, you've been doing this vacation thing for about a month now.
I know. I got to get back to where I'm going to be working for a long time.
I'm leaving on Friday.
You are?
Yes.
What? Okay.
I know you are.
That's good. How about this? More on Weaponsgate. Iraqi mobile labs, nothing to do with germ warfare, according to the United States investigation. I'm sorry.
Really?
An official British investigation into two trailers found in northern Iraq has concluded they are not mobile germ warfare labs, as was claimed by Tony Blair and George Bush, but were for the production of hydrogen to fill artillery balloons, as the Iraqis have continued to insist. They say they are not germ warfare laboratories. You could not use them for making biological weapons. They do not even look like them. They are exactly what the Iraqis said they were, facilities for the production of hydrogen gas to fill balloons.
So who's going to pay for this?
Well, nobody.
Who's going to pay the ultimate price?
Yeah.
Like, this is an example of one war crime after another.
Yeah. And why don't the American people seem to care? This, according to, Andrew Kohut, director of the nonpartisan Pew Research Center, a majority of the public in the United States did not believe that the Bush administration had deliberately misled them. This is not the one that I was looking for. In March, before the invasion began, a joint survey by Democratic and Republican pollsters found that 41% of the public believed that war would mostly be a success if Saddam Hussein was removed from office, but no weapons were found. The sentiment has grown since Baghdad fell. Well, of course, they'd have to, since there's no weapons of mass destruction and never were. But he says, in no small part, because people believe the weapons will be found.
I know. Do people still believe that Saddam Hussein and 9/11 are connected? They still believe this. But think about it. Like you said at the top of the hour, you were on this island. You're pretty isolated. A lot of people go through their lives like this, and it makes our jobs just more frustrating.
Well, it makes our jobs possible. If everybody read the news like we read, they would come up to the same conclusions, I'm sure, except for the third of the population that are just psychos.
Right.
And they have their spokespeople, Bush and Rumsfeld and Cheney and all that. Now, here's what TrueMajority.com says. Now, I'm sorry, TrueMajority.org, TrueMajority.org. Ben Cohen, the guy that founded Ben and George's along with
Ben and Jerry's ice cream.
What's Ben and George's?
I'm sure it's something in that brain of yours.
All right. I just thought of it. I don't even want to say it. Never mind.
Okay.
He says, there are three possibilities why there are no such weapons now in Iraq, each more troubling than the last. Just plain wrong is number one. U.S. and British intelligence agencies just got it wrong, and Iraq didn't have the stockpiles described in such detail by the spy agencies. This would cast enormous doubt on the government's ability to defend America. Two, the weapons got away. Weapons of mass destruction and the means to make more of them were spirited out of Iraq while the battle was raging. This would mean that Al-Qaeda or other terrorists could have these weapons today and could be preparing to use them, which is a catastrophic blunder. The third explanation is lies. President Bush and his advisors lied to the American people and the world about the existence of weapons of mass destruction in order to get us into this war. And TrueMajority.org, Ben Cohen and the people say that this would be a serious crisis for our nation. I guess
liar,
so.
Liar, 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 liar.
Yeah. Here's Dean in Santa Fe. Listen to KTRC. Dean, it's Peter Werby and Jalene Jordan at 1-800-TALK. Yes. Any idea why Americans, according to these polls, don't appear to care whether this is Weaponsgate or not?
Well, my own feeling is that you almost have to go back. It's curious that John Dean is
raising this issue about the validity and the lies surrounding the weapons. But I almost think you have to go back to the time of Nixon and specifically maybe Kent State, where some people have speculated that might have been a deliberate attempt, certainly the show of force, to stop resistance to the Washington policies and so forth. But on a deeper level, I seem to remember that ever since that early 70s when Nixon was in office, it seems like the school system and as a whole the society has been conscientiously dumbed down. And because I seem to remember a lot of teachers being denied tenure in the colleges, ones that were trying to provoke students to kind of think about things at least. And then I think 9/11. I mean, it's funny that Sodom is linked to 9/11, but in a sense, I think that totally did something to the psyche, or to the will, or to the soul of the American people. I think that was it was psychological. I mean, my feeling is that it was allowed to happen for a very specific reason to turn the country in a very serious and strong manner in another direction. I mean,
in a military, to turn this into a 100% military state.
Well, that's it. I think people somehow will. They were shocked into submission, so to speak, into surrendering the will to resist even our own government's policies. And the emotional, there's an emotional vacuum. I think people were there was they were just exhausted. And people like Michael Hoffman have talked about the program and it goes on. I think this was really much like Kennedy, JFK, mm-hmm. where you kind of rip out the emotional body of a people just like that in an instant.
Well, but also what you replace it with is hard, cold fear.
Well,
and the idea that the only person in America that is, it shouldn't have been Big Brother, it should have been Big Daddy,
yeah.
is that the only person that can protect us is Big Daddy. And if you start saying these people are liars, these people are manipulators, these people are playing on our fears, what does that leave us with? No protector. Because we can't protect ourselves from this force that is everywhere, that is needs endless wars, that that even the greatest nation in the world can't conquer immediately. It has to be the big state. It has to be the all-powerful imperial nation. So I think that this fear has that's been engendered in all of us has taken a real toll on lots of different levels. And in some ways, Dean, I think you really hit it. I mean, both emotionally and intellectually.
I think it's trauma-based programming. And if you look at the sequence, like the Skinners of the world or that sort of thinking, it's periodic.
Not the Nancy Skinners.
No, not Nancy. She's wonderful. No,
yeah.
The B.F. Skinner or whatever his name was.
Yeah.
I remember I had to read it. But, the behaviorist. And what the way you do it to reprogram is to, you don't keep a series of regular events. You space them out. And so you bam, you hit them with one thing. Then you wait a while and you pass the natural state where people might expect it to happen again. And then you hit them with another one. And you break down. In this case, the body politic or the American
sure.
people's psyche. I think people are just exhausted on a certain emotional level and so caught up with just living everyday life and trying to preserve that security in some manner or another. I think that, we're having psychological warfare waged against us.
Yeah, I think so. It's psyops against the American people. Dean,
absolutely.
Thanks for calling in.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
I appreciate it. 1-800-TALK-YES, Peter Werby and Jelaine Jordan.
Stronger than that, right?
Who is?
I'm saying just to people, be strong.
Oh, be stronger. I thought you said he's strong.
Yeah. Psychological warfare.
Yeah, well, it is. But what you have to have is alternative frames of reference. And if you're just going to the medium that actually is the vehicle that lodges this fear in you, well, you're not going to get very far there. I mean, sometimes when I watch television, I can feel a cold chill go down my spine.
Sure.
When they,
because
it's all about fear. I mean, it's one of the reasons I turn it off. It's one of the reasons I never watch it.
I know.
Yeah.
Well, I'm with you. And ever since I've, met you and increasingly have watched less TV, I feel better about it.
Yeah. Well, I certainly, being, again, on this island that didn't even have electricity, you couldn't even watch television if you wanted to.
Well, here,
I didn't want to. Anyways. Coming up in about 15 minutes, Charles Sheehan Miles. He's the executive director of the Nuclear Policy Research Institute. He's a combat veteran, and he's written a novel about the Gulf War in which he partook. And we're going to talk about another effect of war that's beneath the radar screen. Of course, if you're just reading the headlines, if you're just listening to the headlines, if you're just watching Foxhole News or something like that, you're never going to get. Mm-hmm. And that's the effect of depleted uranium. Those shells that have this DU, that's what it's called, and you could probably use them as paperweights in their form. You know, I mean, if you made it into a paperweight. However, when they're exploded and they're atomized and that stuff is blown around, well, I think we're in for some real problems. And we'll talk with Charles Sheehan Miles about his experience during the Gulf War, about Gulf War syndrome.
Right.
And if you Gulf War vets, and Jillian, is there anybody home yet from the, yeah, some people have come home from the Iraq War. It's going to be interesting when they start listening and start calling us. I'm sure want to hear from them. Hey, if there's any Iraq War veterans listening, for sure give us a ring. Peter Werby and Jillian Jordan, we're at 1-800-TALK-YES, and we're talking a lot about Weaponsgate and why the American people, according to the polls, don't seem to care. But there's other issues as well, and the war was supposed to disguise what's happening to the economy. Remind me, Jillian, when we come back, we'll talk about the economy. It's the economy, stupid.
Attention all plaintiffs. If personal injury, medical malpractice, accident, or other disaster has left you helpless and desperate, call now 800-586-5493 and receive up to $50,000 instant cash assistance. Express lawsuit funding provides no risk, no payments needed cash to people with pending lawsuits. The money is yours until your case settles. You pay nothing. We only collect when your lawsuit settles. Call us now, 800-586-5493. Your lawsuit has merit, and the cash is yours to do with whatever you need. Take care of living expenses, credit cards, car payments. No payments needed until your case settles. No employment requirements. No credit checks. Call now, 800-586-5493. Your cash is waiting for your call. Express Lawsuit Funding is waiting to help you. Call 800-586-5493.
Now, everything you need for successful estate planning comes in one package. The new Master Estate Kit is a collection of legal power that would cost you $500 or more if prepared by a lawyer. Here's what you'll get. First, a legal will kit, one praised by nearly 500,000 buyers. Second, a living will kit that assures your wishes will be followed in case of an irreversible injury or illness. And third, a power of attorney kit that includes all the required forms. Order today and we'll include the new Family Legal Guide. It answers all your questions about small claims, court, landlord agreements, personal bankruptcy, and much more. An $80 value, the complete Master Estate Kit costs only $39.95. For immediate delivery of the Master Estate Kit and your free Family Legal Guide, call 1-800-221-0393. Pay only $39.95 plus shipping. Every kit carries an unlimited money-back guarantee. Call 1-800-221-0393 now. That's 1-800-221-0393.
The Peter Werby Show.
Doug's in Santa Fe listening to KTRC.
Isn't it good that the people that are in power can always contradict themselves?
Yeah, did you?
Prostitution wasn't legal in Iraq, but yet Saddam Hussein had a series of concubines, one of which our CIA and federal government was getting information on him prior to the war.
Right. Turned out he uses Viagra. But so does Bob Dole. But so does Bob Dole. And thank you for Viagra. How many people are getting to go to Viagra Falls these days that previously couldn't? So it's a good thing.
Did you know this, that Saddam also wrote romance novels, writes them, writes plays and things like that?
Yeah, and he likes Frank Sinatra.
Yeah.
He takes Viagra, puts on the Frank Sinatra tunes, and off he goes.
The Peter Werby Show, weekdays from 2 p.m. till 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Our scientists have studied and found that our listeners have a lot of stress from the lack of being able to get their questions and comments off of their minds, which can cause nausea, vomiting, and eventually will make you strip down, sit in a corner, and drool while counting pretty yellow and pink elephants flying around.
Okay.
So now, IE America Radio Network is proud to present the IE Hotline. Call and give your comments.
I just wanted to call and let you know your internet station totally rocks off the chart.
Your suggestions.
I think Doug Stephan should be
on all day, 24-7, yeah.
Your questions.
Got a question about Bush. How the hell do you put food on your family? What is that?
Crop growth and biologic growth are by the good will and volitional control.
Or whatever the heck that just was. So call 1-800-397-8255 and leave a message for any one of our on-air talents. 1-800-397-8255. Operators are standing by. Just kidding. You have to leave a message.
Welcome back to the Peter Werby Show. 1-800-TALK-YES. 1-800-825-5937. Here's Peter.
Thank you very much, Angeline. Jordan, welcome back to you as well.
Peter, you're going to talk about the economy.
Okay, I will. Hey, you know, there is life in the real world, and that's not looking so good. Here are some figures for us. Since March 2001, the U.S. private sector has shed 3.1 million jobs. That's the largest percentage decline since the Great Depression.
Oh, my gosh.
Half of the Federal Reserve's 12 regional districts are experiencing, quote, sluggish, subpar, or subdued economic growth, according to a Fed report released last week. And the government is on track for a record $400 billion deficit, dollar deficit this year, according to the nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office.
Yeah, I saw that one. So, Republicans?
Now, Bush has cut taxes three times since unpacking his bags in the White House. That translates to a $1.3 trillion giveaway in 2001, a $96 billion handout in 2002. This all mostly goes to the wealthy. And the $350 billion, here you go, that takes effect next month. Now, the deal with this is that you would think when you give away this amount of money to the wealthy, you enhance the wealth of the already rich, and nothing happens except the economy gets worse, and we turn more and more over of our hard-earned dollars, not over to anything for us, the American people, mm-hmm. but instead to these insane military ventures abroad. Remember, I may remind you again of the $30 million in cash delivered to the Kurdish sector of Iraq by the United States government, which is taking your money and my money. They took $30 million in cash to pay people there for work they were doing. I mean, what the hell they were doing for money before that, I don't know. But it wasn't with the money that should have gone to my city and your county and my county to stop school closings, to stop hospital closings, to do something for this country. I don't mean that we should just say, oh, the hell with everybody else in the world. That's a separate problem. But the idea that Bush delivers the goods, essentially brings home the bacon for the ultra wealthy, and we're paying the freight when we can't even keep simple services alive in our country, I just don't know what could keep this man afloat.
My conservative father,
yeah,
right,
he keeps him afloat.
I love him to death, but my dad,
Hi Wes,
my dad said, I pay a lot of taxes, honey.
Yeah.
And that's what I said.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, you make a lot of money, Wes.
That's right.
And as far as I'm concerned, you might not even like this. Jelaine, he ought to pay a lot more taxes.
I kind of alluded to that in that I said, Dad, no matter how much money I make, even if I made as much as you make, I would always want to pay my fair share of taxes. And I said, I think everyone should pay their fair share of taxes.
Sure.
So, and we kind of just floated off at that point, which is usually what happens, which is usually best.
Right. Well, you know, this is the real world where jobs are being lost, that increasingly things are beginning to wind down. I talk to people all the time, tradesmen who aren't getting the work that they used to, businesses that aren't getting, the customers, restaurants that aren't getting, customers in.
Yeah, right.
And, of course, on planet Bush, that's out past Uranus, everything is just fine. He and his dad are riding $5,000 little scooters called, what are those, Segways, right?
Yes.
Only Bush could manage to fall off of that. That's what we were talking about earlier. They on board two computers, five gyroscopes that are that make 100 corrections a second to anticipate every possible move someone could make so you don't fall off, and that klutz. I'd learn more Yiddish.
I'm like Jojo, the idiot circus boy with a pretty new pet.
That means a clumsy guy.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, on planet Bush, One of the things under this new tax law, small businesses can immediately write off $100,000 in new equipment purchases. Well, hey, isn't that good? Maybe they'll go out and buy some new equipment. That's what it's supposed to be all about. Except you know what they're buying?
What?
Hummers.
What?
They're buying Hummers. They're buying these high-end vehicles.
For what?
For their businesses that you can now take off your taxes.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, geez. You know, I see these little rich Boca, you know what's driving around in Boca Raton in their mini Hummers, and I just give them this snarl.
Yeah, they.
What is your problem, woman? One of them has like leopard seats, and just barf, Barbarama.
All right, Charles Sheehan Miles next in the Peter Werby Show. He's from the Nuclear Policy Research Institute. He's a Gulf War vet as well.
Mom, see you later.
Jason, who else is going to the concert with you?
Anna and Kyle.
So you'll be home?
At 11.
Good. Make sure to call me if anything comes up, okay?
You know I never forget.
I know you don't. Now, about that music.
Yeah, isn't it awesome?
Well,
let your kids be who they are, but know what they're doing. Talk, know, ask. Parents, the anti-drug. For more information, call 1-800-788-2800. Sponsored by the ONDCP and the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
You're listening to The Peter Werby Show, 2 p.m. till 5 p.m. Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton.
Work for Coca-Cola, drink Pepsi on the job, and get fired? That's what happened last week to Rick Bronson, a 12-year delivery driver working out of Coke's distribution facility in Sylmar, California. Someone reported to management that Bronson was seen drinking a Pepsi on the job. Management then invoked an obscure company rule that prohibits employees from slandering Coke products, and in their view, drinking a Pepsi at work constitutes slander. Bronson, however, is a member of the International Brotherhood of Teamsters, Local 848, and the union has filed unfair labor practice charges against Coke over the incident. It believes Bronson's termination was motivated by the fact he's active in union organizing campaigns among other Coke distributors.
25,000 unionized General Electric employees have a tentative new contract today. A coalition of GE unions struck the deal hours before their old contract was set to expire this morning, averting a strike that could have followed as early as June 26th. No details have yet been released, but union leaders say the deal helps safeguard affordable health care, a top union priority.
Workers at the Whirlpool Corporation are reeling from the company's announcement of massive changes to retiree health benefits. Effective immediately, Whirlpool will only pay part of retirement health insurance costs for those workers over the age of 40. Current retirees are being given two choices, either sign up for one of two new health plans where they pay 20% of the premium or stay in the currently free plan where benefits will be slashed. Union workers at Whirlpool are not exempt from the changes, and although the unions involved must approve them, they're not in the best position to bargain. Over the last year, Whirlpool's announced the closure of some U.S. factories and is moving the work to China and Mexico. It has threatened to close more unless workers take wage and benefit cuts like this one.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Do you dig your dog, but your dog digs your rose bushes?
Does Hole in the Head have your Oscar?
Is your cat doing a Tarzan swing from your drapes?
Is your python pooped?
Do you hate your folks because they spent your college tuition on a European vacation?
Jamie, what does that have to do with Animal?
I don't know. I kind of ran out of stuff.
Now, come on. This is a commercial for a major radio network. We should do better.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and for 2 hours every day, I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls. We'll be talking about the stories behind the stories in the day's news. That's the Tom Hartman Program, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
This is the time to mobilize. This is the time for us to take action.
1-800-TALK-YES. 1-800-825-5937.
Thank you very much. Welcome back. Jolene Jordan and I were talking a little earlier about why in the world would people believe that weapons of mass destruction will still be found, and why do most of them not care? Well, here is a very, very disturbing poll that appeared in the Seattle Times the other day. A third of the American public believes that U.S. forces have already found weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. So a third of the people already think that weapons of mass destruction have been discovered in Iraq. Remember Lincoln's dictum about you can fool all the people some of the time and some of the people all the time? Well, there is the third, folks, that you can fool all the time. And 22% said Iraq actually had used chemical or biological weapons in its resistance to the U.S. invasion.
Anybody home?
Yeah, right. All right, more to talk about, though, and that's the weapons that have been used. We talked about cluster bombs a program ago or so before I went on vacation. Those cluster bombs are still wounding people, so in that sense, the war is still going on in Iraq. But I wanted to talk about depleted uranium, and if you don't know what that is, we'll explain that in just a minute. Joining me is Charles Sheehan Miles, and he's executive director of the Nuclear Policy Research Institute. The president is Dr. Helen Caldicott. You may know of her. And Sheehan Miles was the founding executive director of the National Gulf War Resource Center. He served in combat with the 24th Infantry Division during the 1991 Gulf War. He was decorated for valor. He's co-founder of Veterans for Common Sense and author of Prayer at Rumaila. It's a novel of the Gulf War. It's published by Ex Libris. And thank you very much for joining us, Charles Sheehan Miles. I appreciate you taking the time.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
Now, you folks just had a conference about depleted uranium. Tell us what depleted uranium is. We'll call it DU at least part of the time because the whole thing is kind of a mouthful. But go ahead, please.
Okay, well, DU is a byproduct of the uranium enrichment process. In the simplest terms, natural uranium consists primarily of two isotopes, which is U-238 and 235. Mm-hmm. You can't make bombs out of 238. It's got to be so what they do when they take it out of the ground is they enrich it, and they have a portion of it that is the fissionable uranium. And we have 700,000 tons of it in the United States.
Whoa. Well, that's a lot.
It is.
And so how does it wind up being in artillery shells?
Well, the Army began experimenting with it decades ago, and finally put it into use in combat for the first time in 1991. They're used primarily as an anti-tank ammunition, so you'll find them on the Abrams tank, which is what I was on during the Gulf War. They're also fired by the A-10 aircraft, and the Navy has its phalanx weapon system, which is an anti-aircraft or anti-missile system. Mm-hmm. And but the reason it's used is because it's almost twice as dense as lead. So that's the one property. So it's got a. But the other reason they use is it's pyrophoric, which means with the target it catches fire, and it literally burns up into tiny particles. Some of them are smaller than 5 microns in size.
Now
you can breathe them and get them in your lungs.
Now, okay, well that's important. I mean to cut off that last segment. You can breathe these microscopic particles, and they can go into your lungs. Now, I was listening to National Pentagon Radio, or is that what it's called? NPR, whatever. And I was listening to a guy who was saying, I have a hunk of depleted uranium DU, and I use it as a paperweight, mm-hmm. and I'm not getting anything on my. My Geiger counter, and this is just a lot of, Chicken Little scare stories that these people are peddling.
Right. Well, his Geiger counter must be malfunctioning. In fact, we had a presenter from the NRDC at our conference this weekend, and that was precisely the demonstration he did, was brought a Geiger counter and a lump of depleted uranium. And if you put it up next to it, it really goes off because it gives off a lot of alpha particles. They do not have very far range, and I think that's where the Pentagon says what they do. DU doesn't give off as much gamma radiation as natural uranium. And so once you get a significant distance away from it, it's less and less harmful. The real concern, especially for the soldiers and especially for children who climb into contaminated tanks and equipment, is that once these particles become burned up and they're respirable in size, if you can get them, if you can ingest them, if you can get them in your lungs, then those alpha particles, even though they're short range, they're very high energy, and the research shows that they can cause a lot of damage. And we're talking not just radiological damage, but it's also chemically toxic. It's like if you were to get lots of lead in your lungs, which is not something we recommend for children.
Now, you were in the first Gulf War, or just the Gulf War. I guess they're making a distinction between the 1991 Gulf War and this just being called the Iraq War. I'm not quite sure why. And what are the similarities and what are the differences? You were a combat soldier. You were decorated for valor, and this time you were watching it, as so many of us were. What kind of differences and similarities do you see?
Well, the biggest difference that I saw was that most of the fighting in the 91 war took place out in the deserts or in sparsely inhabited areas. We came in through the southern deserts of Iraq and then moved down the main highway from Baghdad to Basra. And the vast majority of the tank battles took place in areas that were lightly populated. It's very different this time. A lot of fighting in the cities, a lot of tank fighting in the cities. We know from press accounts that DU was used in Baghdad and Najaf and Nasiriyah and Basra and all of these cities we've been hearing about. So one thing that's a very important difference from this war as opposed to the 91 war is that the contaminated equipment isn't at some distance away from the cities. It's right there. It's in the same neighborhoods the children play in. That's really one of the main concerns that MPRI has, is that, you know, we need to address that quickly before, you know, these kids, you know, kids are curious. They're going to climb into these tanks and try to find out what it's about. They're going to play war. They're going to pretend. And unfortunately, they're going to stir up this dust inside the tanks, and at least some of them will probably get significant amounts lodged in their lungs.
Well, what surprised me, I was reading an article about the conference that your group, the Nuclear Policy Research Institute, held over the weekend, and the figures there. In fact, this is even from the Pentagon of the United Nations, estimated that between 1,000 and 2,000 tons of depleted uranium were used by the U.S. forces during their invasion of Iraq in March and April. And that is a tremendously higher number than the 375 tons used during the 1991 Gulf War. This time around, there was much, much less resistance. Why did they use so many more shells with depleted uranium?
Well, I have to correct one thing. There actually was far more resistance this time than last time around. I mean, when you consider that there's still fighting going on.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm not sure we're in a position yet to come down hard on those numbers. That 1,000 to 2,000 tons comes from an AP report and from their sources. I'm not sure who their sources are. But in terms of official amounts that the Pentagon's given out, we just don't know yet. I suspect it is higher than in the last war, but because the combat's gone on a significantly longer period of time. But you know, it's tough to say at this point what the amounts are.
My guess is Charles Sheehan Miles. He's the executive director of the Nuclear Policy Research Institute. And we're talking about depleted uranium and its use during the Iraq War, the effects that it can have on people when it gets pulverized into microscopic particles. Now, there's been this big debate, and it's been ongoing for the last 10 years and has stretched through the Gulf War into Kosovo and Serbia and now back into Iraq again, mm-hmm. as to whether or not this DU exposure actually is harmful or not.
Right.
The governments of Britain and the United States, particularly, I think some other countries as well, deny that. They say that there is no discernible ability to connect up some of the diseases that soldiers have received and civilians with the use of depleted uranium. I mean, maybe you could define the debate, and if you would, give us their contention. I mean, or maybe I've done it already. They just said there's nothing there. You're essentially making a cause and effect relationship that does not exist.
Well, sadly enough, there's a core of truth in what they're saying. We don't know 100% if there's a cause and effect there, and the reason why is because nobody has studied it. Out of the hundreds of millions of dollars that has been spent on researching why Gulf War veterans got sick after the war, virtually none of it was spent on studies covering depleted uranium. And the VA actually complained because the study that they are doing on soldiers who had DU shrapnel in their bodies is too small of a population for them to draw any scientific conclusions from. Now, I'll make a couple of points here that are real important because they apply to this war as well as the last one. One of the things that we did not do in 91 was we didn't do any immediate assessments or physical exams or urine tests or anything else to identify who was exposed to depleted uranium, who had it in their systems. So if somebody comes back in 5 years and has a cancer, for example, it's impossible to draw a scientific conclusion because you can't trace it back to the original exposure. That flaw has been pointed out time and time and time again to the Pentagon over and over. And in fact, Congress passed a law requiring them to do these kinds of tests for the troops, but they're not doing it. They are taking some blood samples from some of the soldiers who are returning, but they're not testing for DU unless the soldier specifically goes to the VA and asks for it.
Hmm.
So it's going to be very, very difficult to make that case, even now. Now, that said, the Pentagon's own research that they've done on animals, now they've implanted pellets of depleted uranium in rats. Well, guess what it does to the rats? It gives them cancer.
Hmm.
It gives them neurological problems. It affects their reproduction. It affects their immune systems. That's what happens to rats when you give them depleted uranium. But when the Pentagon says, oh, we can't find any health effects, they're not referencing their own research.
Well, now, people have talked so much over the last 10 years and more now about Gulf War syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
And the government has said that it's a lot of it's just psychological. A lot of it is just what people suffer as they go through life. What's your sense of you were there. You're a vet of that war. Is there anything that maybe I ask you directly, Charles Sheehan Miles? Is there anything you suffered directly that you would attribute to what has been called Gulf War syndrome?
I would not, but I will say that the Pentagon and the government actually doesn't say it's stress anymore. What happened is over the course of several years, they kept saying that, and Congress finally said, look, you're going to research it whether you like it or not. And a significant amount of research happened both in the private sector and with the VA, and they did find a number of very, very specific illnesses, for instance, Lou Gehrig's disease, neurological problems, that are specific to Gulf War veterans, and the government compensates veterans for today. Another incident, which was recently in the news, was a nerve gas release from basically a friendly fire incident where we bombed and destroyed a chemical weapons cache and exposed a bunch of our own troops to it.
Hmm.
So, to a large extent, they've admitted that there were problems last time. They're not talking about depleted uranium as one of those particular causes. And I think the reason for that is that the Pentagon clearly likes this as a weapon, and they want to keep it in the inventory.
Now, it's, I guess, just kind of coincidental that you're on this broadcast the same time I got an email last night. You're co-founder of Veterans for Common Sense, and I received this from Mark. He sent this into calltalkyes@yahoo.com.
Mm-hmm.
And this is addressed to me. He says, you pacifist, pathetic wimp, you make me sick. I love this country. I fought in Vietnam for this country. Interestingly, he says, right or wrong, I respect all veterans who went out and did their duty for their country. And this is, I don't know what he's talking about. But, I mean, it's this long letter filled with capital letters. So I said, look, I read through your letter. It's just insults. Why don't you take a look at some of these websites? And I mentioned your website before I even knew you were going to be on, veteransforcommonsense.org and also veteransforpeace.org. I said, write me back after you've read this. And I said, don't use capital letters, please. How would you speak to this man? And maybe you could, in that, talk about why you founded Veterans for Common Sense.
Well, for the same reasons NPRI is doing what we're doing, we want a safer world for our children. That we're pushing right now, you know, increasing the use of depleted uranium or developing new bunker buster bombs or, the Senate's just voted to underwrite the development of nuclear plants and to limit the liability of the operators of the plants. These are all things that are happening over the last couple of years. You know, a lot of these issues are coming to a boiling point,
mm-hmm.
and they're not making us safer. They're not making us safer, and that's what it's about, is making the world and our country a safer place to be. And these policies aren't doing that.
Well, I just have about 60 seconds left. What do you think the current veterans are going to find when they come home? I mean, they're certainly in the medium, they're regaled as heroes, but that was quick-lived for people of your war, wasn't it?
Well, it was to an extent, and one of the things that disturbed me when I came home in 91 was this perception that it was all this kind of high-tech, low-contact war, that it was all from a distance, and it was all very high technology. And I'll tell you, it wasn't. On the ground, it was dirty. It was a war. It was brief, which I was grateful for, but I wouldn't care to see that many dead people ever again in my life, especially ones that I caused. I suspect there's going to be a lot of issues, and one of the big issues, you look at these guys from the 3rd Infantry Division, they went through some very, very heavy fighting getting into Baghdad, and then now they've been extended pretty much indefinitely. They're in a situation where, on the one hand, they're supposed to be protecting the civilian population, on the other hand, every time they turn around, somebody's throwing a grenade at them.
Well, Charles, unfortunately, I can hear the music booming. We're pretty much out of time. I would suggest people look at your book, Prayer at Ramila, A Novel of the Gulf War. It's from Ex Libris. And also go to veteransforcommonsense.org. Real quickly, Charles, how do we get to your NPRI website?
Nuclearpolicy.org, and we're going to be posting the proceeds from our conference.
All right. Thank you so much for having joined us.
Honey, why are you wallpapering? Hmm? I thought you needed to fix the lawnmower and a bunch of other stuff around here.
This isn't wallpaper. I'm just hanging up my to-do list.
Have a lot on your list? Sears can get you through it more quickly by offering easy access to over 4.5 million parts. Call 1-800-4-MY-HOME, click on Sears.com, or come into a Sears Parts and Repair Center. Where can you find the right part for all major brands of lawn equipment and home appliances, no matter where you bought them? Sears. Where else?
Life is full of decisions. For example, driving through a bird sanctuary with your sunroof open.
Ah. Ooh.
Now that's a bad decision. Fortunately, buying a GM-certified used vehicle that's fully reconditioned and backed by GM is always a good decision. GM-certified used vehicles. The right way, the right car.
Now qualified buyers get 3.9% APR financing on select GM-certified used vehicles from participating Chevrolet, Pontiac, Oldsmobile, Buick, and GMC dealers. Length of contract limited. Take delivery by June 30th, 2003. See dealer for details or call 1-888-999-7880.
Do you want to own a computer but have less than perfect credit? Bad credit? No credit? No problem. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved. Guaranteed. You heard right. You're approved for a brand new name brand computer. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now. If you can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, you're already approved. Guaranteed. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now and tell us where you want your brand new name brand computer delivered. If you can afford $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, your brand new state-of-the-art PC will be on its way. Guaranteed. Bad credit, no problem. Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved for the computer of your dreams. Guaranteed. Call right now, 1-800-823-0157.
All right, folks, while we have a minute, let's go up to the chopper with Brad Paul, get a traffic update. Brad, what do you see up there?
Well, thanks a lot, Scott. Nothing you're going to want to hear about, unfortunately. You can expect major delays on the interstate. An overturned tractor trailer has got traffic backed up for about 25 miles. It's a real bad situation, Scott, but I do have good news.
What's that, Brad?
I just saved a load of money on car insurance by switching to GEICO.
See how much you could save. Visit GEICO.com. GEICO. 15 minutes online could save you 15% on car insurance.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Hear
that Doug made his confession that he used hair color.
Yeah, as you know. Expecting to make it the treatise of the last month. Aren't you guys sweet?
I would recommend sticking with one color, however. Each month you'd have
I
want to
see you try the afro stuff.
Yeah, right. I'm going to do that.
I decided that it is not the color of the hair, but the head that it stuck to that's important. On the IE America Radio Network.
Chris from New Mexico, welcome to Animal Talk. What's up?
I have a neighbor decided to release 12 piranha into a river up here in northern New Mexico. But I'm wondering, I think that's a crime, isn't it?
It's not a crime, but it's a dumb idea.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
You don't want the fish cops coming after you. Let me know. Yeah. Yeah.
But, I mean, could South American piranha survive?
Not in northern New Mexico. And as soon as he dumped the fish in there, they went into shock. They were dead. Now, there are people who have released piranha in Florida, and they are in the canals. They are actually breeding and growing, and Florida is turning into the piranha state.
But would you blame me if I don't go wading for a little while?
Don't worry about it. The only problem is that if you go wading, wear waders, because if not, your lucky charms are not going to be the same size they were when you get out of the water.
Thank you for the visual. And, I'll talk to you later.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Generals gathered in their masses, just like witches at black masses. Evil minds that plot destruction, sorcerer of death construction. In the fields the bodies burning, as the war machine keeps turning. Death and hatred to mankind, brainwash minds. Oh, Lord, yeah.
The Peter Werby Show. 1-800-TALK-YES. 1-800-825-5937.
Thank you very much. Welcome back, Jillian Jordan. Welcome back as well.
Thank you, Peter. Mm. May I say that in the next week or so, I'm giving the Peter Werby Show a little bit of a facelift.
Okay.
People might be burning on some of our music and things like that. So
why? Just because we play that every other day? War Pigs by...
Sick of it. Anyhow, I have a bunch of really great new stuff, whether it just be music or politically active music that everyone could look forward to.
But remember this, Jalene, is that the DJs or the announcers or the hosts always fry out on things much, much before the audience does.
I think the audience is probably pretty fried up.
I don't know. I'll bet you.
No.
Okay. Let's go to Pablo in Santa Fe, New Mexico, listening to KTRC. Pablo, have you heard enough of War Pigs by Black Sabbath?
I like hearing that every few days.
Okay.
I'm not
tired of it.
Well, okay.
I've been out of a radio range, so I'm not sure what your topics have been today. But I wanted to mention, did anyone see Meet the Press with Tim Russert? Yesterday?
I did not know.
No.
They had former General Wesley Clark on.
Really?
Sure.
And he's pretty seriously looking at maybe, you know, entering the Democratic presidential run.
Yeah, we've heard that.
And he was very, very impressive. He seems like a very thoughtful man, and he was against the Iraq War, you know, before it started.
Mm-hmm.
And I think along with Kucinich and Howard Dean, he seems to be a pretty good alternative. So hopefully, you know, he'd just be one more choice if he does choose to do that.
Yeah, I actually heard somebody floating the dream team as being Wesley Clark. And are you ready for this? John McCain. I know he's a Republican.
Oh, yeah.
Wouldn't that be something? I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, McCain's kind of too much of a hawk to me.
Yeah,
but,
absolutely. Okay.
Anyway,
Pablo, actually, we're out of time for this segment, so we'll have to talk about it on a different call. Thanks for joining us. People, we're going to be right back. It's me, Peter Werby. Jalene Jordan is with me as well. More guests, your calls, and we'll talk about Saving Private Lynch when we come back. Jalene Jordan, it's your task. Keep me on focus for that one. You're not going to believe this.
You've been listening to The Peter Werby Show on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
The Werby Show is now airing at a new time. Hi, it's Julene Jordan. The IE America Radio Network has added many exciting new shows to the lineup, and in doing so, The Peter Werby Show has a new time slot. It's weekdays, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we share with you progressive views about peace and social justice that you won't find in the corporate and conservative media. Join us 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern on the IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to www.ieamericaradio.com.
Brendan was spending the afternoon helping me pick out furniture for the new place.
The ladies are doing a little furniture shopping, are they?
That's scary. I hope you didn't make any choices without a professional.
Beanbag chairs for everybody.
God help us. Bearskin rug.
I put the car in swinger, baby.
On the IE America Radio Network.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Erica Kane. Taliban fighters are vowing to launch a series of suicide attacks against U.S. and British forces and even government officials in Afghanistan following a major military defeat earlier this month. The threat was found in leaflets distributed in southeastern Afghanistan that also urged people to support the former Taliban regime and not cooperate with the U.S.-backed government of Hamid Karzai. A former Afghan intelligence official says he believes the leaflets are genuine and had been distributed by members of the Taliban. Four U.S. soldiers were hurt in the wake of two separate attacks in Iraq. One of the incidents, Iraqi fighters fired rocket-propelled grenades at an American convoy, but they struck a civilian bus instead. It's not clear how many civilians were injured. The U.S. has launched Operation Desert Scorpion to hunt down Iraqis who are attacking U.S. troops. The Senate Intelligence Committee is launching an investigation into the issue of weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. Rhode Island Democrat Jack Reed says it's surprising that no such weapons have yet been found. Nevertheless, he believes it's not too early to begin an inquiry.
If we have an intelligence service that has certain blind spots or the analysis is being fitted to prejudgments rather than to the actual facts, then we have a serious problem regardless of what happened or what might happen in Iraq.
Reed says if weapons of mass destruction are not found in Iraq, the government's credibility abroad and here at home is in jeopardy. Efforts to promote a ceasefire between Israel and the Palestinians are not bearing fruit. Egyptian officials who have been meeting with Hamas leaders say the militant group remains opposed to the U.S.-backed roadmap to peace in the region. More news in a moment.
Hey, Larry, baby, you want to go for a ride?
Why, Vince, I didn't know you cared.
I don't, but I'm looking for a baby.
But, Vince, we're crash dummies.
Well, your head's about the size of a baby.
What are you doing?
Taking it off! I'm using your head in a rear-facing infant seat.
Why?
To show how babies up front are in airbag danger.
You know I get sick when I ride backwards and without a body.
Up in front, kids won't know what hit them when the airbag blows.
Then why do people put their kids up front, Vince?
I don't know. Maybe it makes them feel better to see them sitting by their side. Although, if my baby looked like you, he'd ride in the trunk.
And where are we going, Vince?
You know that brick wall with the big bullseye?
I can see it vaguely in the back of my mind.
Well, in 2 seconds, that's exactly where it's going to be. Holy cow, Larry, you're embedded in the seat. I can't understand you. I'll go get a tire iron.
Thank you.
You could learn a lot from a dummy. Buckle your kids in the back seat. A message from the Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
If you think lawmakers in Washington are a bunch of liars, you're not alone. Indiana University's Center for Survey Research polled 1,500 people on their views of Congress and found more than 86% thought members of Congress would lie if they felt the truth would hurt them politically. According to the study, though, many people may not like the way Congress does business, but they like who they sent to Washington. 75% think their own representative does a good job. More after this.
Hello, James Carver here again to tell you about InPhone, a new enhanced directory service you get by dialing 888-411-1111. First blush, a lot of people say, Jimmy, that's way too many numbers to dial. Well, that dog won't hunt. No, it won't. Plug this number into your speed dial, and fella, you got one-button access to the most powerful information service ever. That's InPhone, 888-411-1111. InPhone, how can we help you?
Only 89 cents for any call up to 15 minutes. Only 5 cents a minute after that. Your first 5 calls are free.
A Supreme Court ruling today permits the government to force defendants to take medications that would make them competent to stand trial. However, the 6-3 decision says the treatment must be medically appropriate and unlikely to have side effects. The full Senate is debating a plan to add prescription drug benefits to the Medicare program for seniors. The $400 billion proposal differs from the president's by giving the benefits to older Americans regardless of whether they stick with traditional Medicare or switch to private managed care plans. Questions are being raised about why an ill-fated charter fishing vessel was out to sea when a small craft advisory was in effect. The boat capsized off the Oregon coast when it was struck by a large wave over the weekend, killing at least 9 of the 19 people on board. I'm Erica Kane, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Out of sight, out of mind is dangerous advice when it comes to radiator hoses. After just 4 years of use, they're 100 times more likely to fail. When we come back, I'll tell you the signs.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas. 10 years ago, I discovered a company with the best fuel injector cleaner, BG Products. Now wait, there's more. To do the job right requires cleaning both the fuel and the air induction systems. The process is called BG Complete Induction System Service. If you want your vehicle to run like new, don't settle for anything less. To find a shop near you to perform this service, go to bgfindtheshop.com. That's bgfindtheshop.com.
What you can't see can hurt you when it comes to radiator hoses. Hoses deteriorate due to chemical reactions between rubber and your car's fluids, like oil and coolant. Heat, age, and pollution also take their toll, causing tiny cracks that split, blister, or leak. To identify a defective hose, look at it. Is it scuffed, swollen, cracked? Now touch. Is it soft, gooey, spongy? These are sure signs. But even if hoses look and feel okay, internal deterioration, hidden from view, may spell danger. Be on the safe side. Replace hoses every 4 years. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Welcome to the Peter Werby Show, where we dare to connect the dots. Call now at 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Peter.
Thank you very much, and welcome back, or welcome to the broadcast, depending on whether you're just joining us or not, or whether you've been around for the last 2 hours. Jalene Jordan has. Jalene?
Yes, I have. Hi, Peter.
And I am tan. I am fit. I am ready. Actually, I'm not tan. I got somewhat sunburned on my vacation because I was on the coast of Maine, and it was like 58 degrees. And, of course, you can't get sunburned when it's 58 degrees, right?
Yes, you
can. Yeah, right. So I got a little, and my brother-in-law, man, he got scorched even to the point where I got a little worried about him.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
But he's okay.
Yeah, no, I mean, just these days, you think of sunburn as a little scarier than you used to.
Sure.
Yeah, it wasn't just that you put on copper tone or something like that, right?
Right, right.
Hey, let me see. It was Pablo who was listening to KTRC in Santa Fe. Remember he called in right at the end of last hour and said once again he's heard, actually he saw ex-General Wesley Clark on I would Meet the Press it was, and he was wondering what I thought about the viability of him as a Democratic Party candidate.
Yes.
Other than Kucinich, he certainly would be an improvement over any of them, I would think. But this came in from Christopher. He wrote into calltalkyes@yahoo.com. Do the Democrats have a chance of winning the presidency or majority in Congress with the mainstream media sitting in the right wing's back pocket? This is very, very interesting.
Yes.
He says, I can't imagine Democrats getting any positive press in this environment, and unfortunately, most Americans get their news from cable news like Fox News.
Right.
They fired Donahue for not being right-wing enough. Would any political commentator risk their job to say a single positive thing about a liberal candidate?
That's a good question.
Well, I'll tell you, Jalene,
I think... pretty wimpy these days.
They are. They are. The media and the Democratic candidates.
Right.
But I think there's a tidal wave building. Or maybe that's not a tidal wave. Maybe that's not even the best analogy. There is this enormous mass of water held behind this dam.
Kind of a quiet storm.
Yeah, a quiet storm is brewing. Ooh, I like that.
Yeah.
Maybe we can get some music to that. A quiet storm is brewing.
Yeah.
Never mind. I know. Don't sing. I know. It's about to break loose. That the Bush illusion, I think, his days are numbered. But it's scary because whenever poll numbers start to drop, whenever Planet Bush becomes exposed as this racket for the rich that it is, look out for a terrorist attack or a war.
Yeah, or some big discovery, something. You know.
They found weapons of mass destruction.
Right. Throw people off base.
Yeah, I don't
get them back on track, according to them.
I don't think. See, remember, a lot of the people said right after the Gulf War, and it was clear that Saddam Hussein did not have any weapons of mass destruction, just like the critics charged, that it was this monstrous lie that the Bush people invented out of nothing. People were saying, well, gee, I'm afraid that they're going to be planted.
Yes.
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
Well, there's too much scrutiny, and this would be, it'd be too hard.
For discovery to all of a sudden happen, you mean?
Yeah, I mean, say, so they find a mobile lab. These last two mobile labs turned out to not be that at all, a British study. They did an investigation of these two mobile labs, and guess what? Turned out not to be, used for chemical or biological warfare at all.
For hydrogen.
Yeah, for hydrogen. Hey, remember last hour as well, we played Ozzy Osbourne, actually, he was just the lead singer then, of Black Sabbath. We played War Pigs, and you and I have been hearing it over and over again, and for some reason or other, it keeps coming up very frequently in the routine, in the rotation, rather. And you were saying, hey, we're getting fried on that. Well, we had one caller that said no, he'd like to hear it. And this is Kayla, K-A-Y-L-A. How would you say that, Jalene? Kayla?
K-A-Y-L-A, Kayla.
Kayla, all right, yeah. She wrote in to calltalkyes@yahoo.com. Hi, War Pigs rocks, and so does your show. Peace.
Okay, yay! Good. Well, I'm still going to give the show a facelift.
Okay.
But it's only things that you'll like, I promise. I'm not going crazy here. But I just think there's so much more that we can include music-wise.
Oh, I agree.
I'm going to introduce all of you to this wonderful performance artist, poet named Alex Olson.
Mm-hmm.
She rocks. She's right in line with us. So much. When I get back from Puerto Rico...
We are the travelin's folks. People would think we're rich beyond belief.
Well, I'm going for the weekend, and my friend V, thank you, V, it's her room I'm staying in then, so I'm saving some money.
And I drove to Maine.
Yeah, see, we're not now.
2,000 miles. God.
My God. That's crazy, Peter. You're crazy.
We had to do it.
Because you had to take the dog.
Had to take the dog. But, it actually would have been a considerable amount if we would have had to fly to Portland and then we would have had to take literally a cab to this place and then take a ferry. I mean, it would have been forever.
Yeah, that's true.
And it would have been very, very expensive to get there. But it was fun having the dog. The dog, got her little short legs, right? But she was just bounding up and down these rocky seashore cliffs.
Oh.
So she had a good time.
Good.
All right. Let's get to the meat.
Dummy.
Here's the beef. Here's my beef. There was a front page story today in the New York Times. To interview former POW, CBS dangles stardom. Wow. Anyways, they're talking about Private Jessica Lynch. She is from Palestine, West Virginia. And she was involved in that capture that rescue. Or was it really a rescue or was it really stage managed?
Right. It was so staged.
Yeah. Okay.
It was so staged.
Now, actually, it's written by Jim Rutenberg, who has written a lot about the potential for liberal radio. So this guy is not really a flack or a hack.
Okay.
And you got to remember, too, that the New York Times has just undergone on this enormous, what do you call that?
Ordeal?
ordeal and upheaval, right, because of plagiarism and all sorts of problems with their reporting. So they're really dotting their I's and crossing their T's.
Yeah, right.
In this whole article, it's about how all of these networks were trying to get the interview from Private Jessica Lynch. Kathy Kirk of NBC News sent Private Lynch a
bunch. Katie Kirk.
What am I saying?
Kathy.
Okay, Katie.
That's all right.
I know
her.
I know her as Kathy. You know, I know her stage name is Katie.
Whatever it is, get rid of it.
Okay, Peter.
All right, Katie Kirk. Right.
We'll go with you.
I don't even know who the hell she is of NBC.
She's the one that is the chipper one.
I never watch television.
Right.
Anyways.
Well, I only know from my former days when I was being, you know, my brain was being warped by them.
Yes, she. Anyways, Kirk sent Lynch a bundle of patriotic books. Diane Sawyer of ABC News sent a locket with a photograph of Lynch's family home in Palestine, West Virginia.
Blech.
Yeah, this is all so pukey. So the whole article is about that, about the manner in which the lengths they've gone in order to secure this interview.
You mean to hoe out?
To hoe out, right. They are hoeing out. Yeah.
That's why I got out of that business. I was a news reporter for 5 years, and I felt sick inside the entire time.
Yeah,
I really did.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, there's a couple of things about the article online. First off, they don't make one mention that the whole idea that this rescue of Private Lynch, saving Private Lynch, was totally stage managed. There was absolutely no necessity for a military rescue. That the Iraqi hospital staff tried to return Private Lynch to the American forces, but had their
ambulance shot at.
Yeah, that was marked clearly as an ambulance. Instead, that was met with gunfire. And that when these rescuers got to the scene of the hospital, that they were told, here, you don't have to break down the doors. We have a key. Crunch. You know, they broke
it
down.
Right.
Now, Dennis Kucinich, who's a congressional representative from Cleveland and a presidential candidate, he's asked for the raw footage from the Defense Department. He doesn't want the edited stuff.
Well, good.
Yeah. So, and there's no mention that the Toronto Star and a number of British, I think it was the BBC, have said, look, this is a fraud. This is a fake. This woman was not shot. She was not stabbed. It's not quite clear what happened to her. She says she has an amnesia.
Yeah. Whatever.
Right.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, it's
John,
called amnesia.
John, I thought you were going home.
He's having too much fun playing with us.
Crocodiles and alligators and swamps.
Right.
That's about how as much sense as this whole thing makes.
All right.
Right?
What also the New York Times Online article does not have is this little sidebar that calls Synergizing Private Lynch. Now, imagine that in a headline of a newspaper, Synergizing Private Lynch. And this is how things kind of link together and energize themselves while being linked, right? But what a word.
Yeah.
Now, here's what, to secure the first interview with Private Jessica Lynch, CBS News is using the power of its many Viacom partners, and partly they were talking about all of this and the concentration of media, so the article's not terrible. According to a proposal to the Army from Betsy West, a CBS executive, Lynch could be offered a 2-hour documentary entitled Saving Private Lynch, produced by the CBS News team that created last year's film 9-1-1. Bush would be invited to be part of the documentary, which would include a reunion with Mohammed Odeh al-Raif, the Iraqi who helped Lynch's rescue.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, if you remember, this lawyer, the Iraqi who helped Lynch, he's now working for one of these Republican hacks that was driven out of offices because he was dorking his aide.
Oh, jeez.
This is Robert Livingston. He works for the Robert Livingston Company. Also, they would get an extensive publicity campaign, including segments on the CBS Evening News with Dan Rather, the early show, CBS News Sunday Morning, and the CBS News Radio Network. So this would all be commingled in this propagandistic manner so that it is unintelligible from the news. So there no longer is any semblance of news objectivity or reporting beyond what is necessary to, synergize the information we get. So it's not even energy. It's not even information anymore. It is message.
It's a big Broadway show. Yeah. God. And it's a big payoff. And it's a big, it's just a product on the market.
Well, which means it totally bastardizes, excuse me, for people, those born out of wedlock. I don't even like that phrase. I'll take that back. It totally destroys the concept that we have a medium through which we can get an idea of what reality is. This is pure manipulation. This is information as manipulation in order to produce a message. That is that in this war, that barely rates as a war, the commanders of the Republican Guard, we've come to find out, were bought off with our tax dollar money so they wouldn't fight back, and they didn't. The people that were fighting back were these irregulars, right? The ones without uniforms. They're not wearing uniforms.
They were trained to disguise themselves.
Yeah. Also, there'd be an MTV news special on the dramatic coming-of-age story. Can you imagine this? This is in an imperial army, the largest in the world, that ran over this little country's bare defenses in a matter of weeks, and they're making this out like this is World War II. This is insane. There'll be a special episode of MTV's Total Request Live featuring Lynch and a concert performance in Palestine, West Virginia, including a current star such as Ashanti and perhaps Ja Rule.
Oh, God. Oh, Peter, Yay. This is so vulgar.
You know what? If I saw this just online, I would think that I'd say, I don't believe this.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know why we should. I don't know why we should believe things in the New York Times, given their recent track record.
Right, that's true.
How about this? A country music television special in Palestine, West Virginia, featuring country western artists and possibly including Brad Paisley.
Well, yeehaw!
Yeehaw!
Sister came home.
Yeah. All right, we'll be right back. There's more, if you can believe it. The selling of Private Lynch, it should be called. What do you think about
really?
It? 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. Later on, they're killing seals again, baby seals, harp seals. We'll tell you all about that on the Peter Werby Show.
Nice drive, Jim.
Thanks. You know, I wish my business plan was as straight. We just can't grow anymore with our current facility. I've looked at the price to build, but I'm afraid to spend the money.
Jim, I've known you since you've started your business. You succeeded because you made tough decisions and took risk.
Well...
Look, I had the same problem, but I called General Steel Corporation. The general helped me build my new office and warehouse, and I stayed within my budget. I couldn't believe the time and money I saved compared to traditional construction.
That's a steel building?
It sure is, but with the stucco and rock products provided by the general, you just can't tell. They engineered the building for this area and to fit my needs. When the economy rebounds, I'll be ready to gain market share.
Save time and money with a General Steel building. Call toll-free 1-866-96-STEEL. Whether you need a 40 by 60 for under $13,000 or a 60 by 200 for under $49,000, call 1-866-96-STEEL. If you need space, you need the general. Call 1-866-96-STEEL today.
Wouldn't it be great if you could get everything you need for successful estate planning in one package? Well, now you can. The new Master Estate Kit offers a collection of legal power that would cost you $500 or more if prepared by a lawyer. Here's what you get. First, a legal will kit, one praised by nearly 500,000 buyers. Second, a living will kit that assures your wishes will be followed in case of an irreversible injury or illness. And third, a power of attorney kit that includes all the required forms. Order today and we'll include the new Family Legal Guide. It answers all your questions about small claims court, landlord agreements, personal bankruptcy, and much more. An $80 value, the complete Master Estate Kit costs only $39.95. For immediate delivery of the Master Estate Kit and your free family legal guide, call 1-800-221-0393. Pay only $39.95 plus shipping. Every kit carries an unlimited money-back guarantee. Call 1-800-221-0393 now. That's 1-800-221-0393.
Can you stand hearing a little bit of good news? It comes from an unlikely source. That massive tax bill that the Bushites just rammed through Congress, giving away at least $325 billion of our tax dollars to a handful of rich Americans that neither need nor deserve this windfall. But sometimes you can find a jewel in a junk pile. Tucked into Bush's massive giveaway to the Wall Street crowd is a little something that will help folks from our streets. It's a $20 billion provision to provide emergency aid for states that are grappling daily with our nation's growing health care crisis. Nearly every state in America is facing a budget squeeze, and to make ends meet, most legislatures are blindly whacking the budgets for health care programs that provide essential services to seniors, low-income children, people with disabilities, and others without health care coverage. In my state of Texas, for example, legislators, quote, fixed their budget shortfall by tossing some 250,000 children out of the state health care program. Out of sight, out of mind. It's children like these that the emergency health care money will help. But this $20 billion jewel didn't just appear in Bush's junk pile of a bill. It was placed there through a determined effort led by the men and women of the Service Employees International Union. Half of SEIU's members are nurses and other health care employees who are out on the front lines of meeting America's needs. And they are appalled that so many are being abandoned in a country that is so rich. So they forged a coalition with community groups, seniors, and others, and launched a Put Families First grassroots campaign, bombarding our Congress with thousands of personal appeals for decency, fairness, and sanity. This is Jim Hightower saying, insanely, the Bushites opposed this aid, but people power prevailed. When people get organized, we win. To join other fights for good health care, call SEIU, 202-898-3200.
We're back. It's the Peter Werby Show. Call Peter at 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Peter.
Thanks a lot, and welcome back, Jalene Jordan, as well.
Thank you.
Lots more email about War Pigs by Black Sabbath. Actually, we got a lot going. I'm not going to read it now. I'll read some of it later. Most people say keep it. In fact, everyone has said keep it.
Well, I'm just saying we need more.
No, I agree. Yeah, that's good. We're talking about selling Private Lynch. CBS pitching this huge deal to the government and to Lynch herself, a two-hour documentary called Saving Private Lynch, an extensive publicity campaign that would involve it with the CBS Evening News, MTV stuff, a country music special down in Palestine, West Virginia, a two-hour made-for-TV movie produced by CBS Entertainment, as they do on the hit program JAG. CBS producers would work in consultation with the U.S. military. We're talking about Pravda, folks. We're talking about a news medium that has no semblance of any critical stance, any ability to separate itself from its masters in the government. Finally, discussion. Yeah, Bushko. You're right. Discussions with Simon and Schuster about a book based on Jessica's journey from Palestine to deep inside Iraq.
Of course.
And of course, she has amnesia. So what the hell? Make it up. They make up everything else. Here is Cindy from San Diego. Hi, Cindy. Thanks for calling 1-800-TALK-YES.
Hi, guys. How are you today?
Doing great.
I'm just calling to let you know I sent you an email with a couple of web addresses where people can log on and send some messages to the Congress and to Pat Roberts to get an independent investigation concerning these WMDs and the intelligence that they used to go to war with Iraq.
Well, good for you, and that's the kind of... Yeah, that's
the email's there, and I'll just let you know I listen to you guys every day at work, and thank goodness for you, because you saved my... You saved my sanity.
All right, Cindy. Well, I know we have other listeners in San Diego, and when this great wave crashes, when the Bush illusion is swept aside, we'll have a station in San Diego as well.
I hope so.
All right.
I hope so.
Thanks a lot.
Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Bye now.
Bye.
Here's Ted, who wrote in to calltalkyes@yahoo.com. Now we know that there will never be serious media coverage of the investigation into the Jessica Lynch rescue, because it sounds like various media companies are going to cash in on the marketing and merchandising of her myth. For example, the MTV special will profit Viacom, which owns CBS. Absolutely. And
well, you know what? Next they'll have a Jessica Lynch bobblehead.
Well,
can you imagine?
Right.
You know, everyone has a bobblehead.
Yeah.
Why not her?
I like it. I like it. A former CNN vice president, let me see, his name is David Bergnoff, was a founding employee of the cable news network. He says that... it's critical. Many decisions being made. Calling CBS's latest move to get exclusive interviews with Jessica Lynch insane. He says to quietly package these deals is not new, but to do so out in the open is obscene. Is it really CBS's news's job to do, quote, justice to her inspiring story, or is it their job to ask what may sometimes be difficult and probing questions in order to actually find out the news? Hey, What a concept.
Yeah.
Also, he says, it's a deal like this is a virtual written contract stating that if we do the interview, we will not press too hard, push too often, or probe too deeply. Of course, is it any different than Hillary choosing Barbara Walters, Larry King, and David Letterman instead of Bill O'Reilly, Rush Limbaugh, or Chris Matthews?
No.
And actually, he's even available for discussion on this. I don't know. Maybe we've discussed it all. Hey, coming up, we're going to talk about the seals. They're once again being killed for their pelts.
The baby harp seals.
Yeah.
When I was, 10, 12 years old, I came up with my own petition and went around the neighborhood. Yeah.
And that's Captain Paul Watson. We may have him on tomorrow. Hey, let me get this in quickly, though. This is about war pigs from Derek in Boise, Idaho. You got to keep war pigs. I'd also like to hear Masters of War by Dylan. As there's actually other people that have done that song, I think including Eddie Vedder from Pearl Jam. Peter and Jolene, keep up the good work. Your message is getting out. And let me see here, one more. Hank in Seattle writes in to calltalkyes@yahoo.com. Mixing up the music is always a good idea, but War Pigs rocks. I say keep it. By the way, keep up the excellent work. Okay.
Well, thank you.
We'll do it.
Yeah.
All right.
No problem.
They want to kill seals again, and they're calling for a boycott of Canada. That's the Humane Society of America.
I wanted to move to Canada.
Go to Canada a lot.
Jeez.
We'll see. All right. Peter Werby, Jolene Jordan, we're at 1-800-TALK-YES. Welcome.
Hello, James Carver here again to tell you about InPhone, a new enhanced directory service you get by dialing 888-411-1111. First blush, a lot of people say, Jimmy, that's way too many numbers to dial. Well, that dog won't hunt.
No, it won't.
Plug this number into your speed dial, and fella, you got one button access to the most powerful information service ever. That's InPhone, 888-411-1111. InPhone, how can we help you?
Only 89 cents for any call up to 15 minutes. Only 5 cents a minute after that. Your first 5 calls are free.
You're listening to The Peter Werby Show. Family Talk with Mike Riera is next on IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton.
Work for Coca-Cola, drink Pepsi on the job, and get fired? That's what happened last week to Rick Bronson, a 12-year delivery driver working out of Coke's distribution facility in Sylmar, California. Someone reported to management that Bronson was seen drinking a Pepsi on the job. Management then invoked an obscure company rule that prohibits employees from slandering Coke products, and in their view, drinking a Pepsi at work constitutes slander. Bronson, however, is a member of the International Brotherhood of Teamsters, Local 848, and the union has filed unfair labor practice charges against Coke over the incident. It believes Bronson's termination was motivated by the fact he's active in union organizing campaigns among other Coke distributors.
25,000 unionized General Electric employees have a tentative new contract today. A coalition of GE unions struck the deal hours before their old contract was set to expire this morning, averting a strike that could have followed as early as June 26th. No details have yet been released, but union leaders say the deal helps safeguard affordable health care, a top union priority.
Workers at the Whirlpool Corporation are reeling from the company's announcement of massive changes to retiree health benefits. Effective immediately, Whirlpool will only pay part of retirement health insurance costs for those workers over the age of 40. Current retirees are being given two choices, either sign up for one of two new health plans where they pay 20% of the premium or stay in the currently free plan where benefits will be slashed. Union workers at Whirlpool are not exempt from the changes, and although the unions involved must approve them, they're not in the best position to bargain. Over the last year, Whirlpool's announced the closure of some U.S. factories and is moving the work to China and Mexico. It has threatened to close more unless workers take wage and benefit cuts like this one.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Show.
Joining us now is Jason Campbell with the Christian Action Network.
Well, since 1991, the gay movement has gone down to Disney to do these gay days. You've had events where you've had Mickey Mouse with Goofy in sexual positions.
Ah!
Homosexual movies are shown on the Disney transportation systems. And what kind of movies, for God's sake, do they show on these buses?
Triple X.
Oh, you're kidding.
If a child's riding beside one of the buses and looks up and says, Daddy, what is that on the television monitor?
Right.
It's going to be an embarrassing moment.
Oh, it'll be worse than embarrassing. The child will be scarred for life.
Right. That's what the homosexuals want.
Well, I know. They're after the kids. Now, the only thing I'm afraid of is somebody just tuned in the program and never heard the program before and just went, oh, Jesus, this guy is really a right-wing freak.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
When I say the hungry should have food, I speak for many. When I say no one should have seven homes, while some don't have any. Though I may find myself stranded in some strange place with naught but a vapid stare, I remember the world and I know we are everywhere.
The Peter Werby Show, 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937.
Thank you very much. That's David Rovics. You can go to David Rovics, ROVICS.com, and hear more of his music. Download a lot of it for free, including that song, We Are Everywhere. And what that's talking about is the movements of citizens across the world, in this country, or around the world, to make things happen, to make things better, to make this world more livable. And I've always thought, because we live in a border city here in Detroit, where I'm broadcasting from, that Canada is one of those gentle nations. And some of its rougher edges were taken off a long time ago when there was a grand campaign. See, I'm trying to think, 25 years ago, that that outlawed the killing of, by club of baby seals for their pelts. And Jillian Jordan, my co-host and producer, was just saying when she was 11 years old in her school, she circulated a petition. And I love to go to Canada. Just came back from there, as a matter of fact. And I open up the New York Times today, and there is this full-page ad asking for a boycott of Canada. And we're going to talk about that right now. Our guest is Dr. John W. Grandy. He's a senior vice president for wildlife and habitat protection for the Humane Society of the United States and Humane Society International in Washington, D.C. He's responsible for all the wildlife protection activities at the Humane Society. And Dr. Grandy, thanks for joining us on the Peter Werby Show.
You're welcome. Pleasure.
This is an absolute shock that suddenly the Canadian government has announced that over the next 3 years they're going to allow close to a million seals to be clubbed or shot.
Absolutely. And I was more than a little interested in your introduction, because everywhere the Humane Society's been, and indeed the reason we began this with a major ad in the New York Times was to say to the world, it's back. Because it is back. And like you, I remember when we ended it the first time, or we thought we did. And you remember, historically, in 1972-73, the United States government passed the Marine Mammal Protection Act, barred the importation of products from marine mammals that were nursing at the time they were killed or less than 9 months of age. And so that happened. Shortly after that, in the mid-'80s, the European Union prohibited the importation of white coats into the any of the countries in Europe. So, and after that, it sort of got below our radar screens. And at the same time, the United States ended its own, its last and only seal kill on the Pribilof Islands in Alaska, St. Paul and St. George Islands. So I think everybody had this sort of complacency level. And then in the mid-1990s, it started coming back, this time not killing white coat seals, but killing what are called beaters or raggedy jackets. And these are seals that are between 12 days and 12 months of age. by and large.
And is this still for pelts?
It's being done. The Canadian government is out on the internet as we speak, looking for markets for these things, promoting the sale of seal skins, promoting the sale of oils and meat and penises as aphrodisiacs, although there's some question about whether Viagra has killed the market.
I was going to say that's one of the greatest things that Viagra has done for the animal protection.
Absolutely correct.
Yeah.
In any event,
but we have
it is exactly as you say, but the recognition in our ad is that the only way to stop this hunt is for the Canadian government to stop it, just the way the United States government stopped the Pribilof seal hunt 20 years ago.
Now, the Canadian government, though, is subsidizing the seal?
Well, the Canadian government has various sort of things it does to promote economic development, promote the sale of skins. All of these things are backdoor subsidies to the hunt. And they promote it amongst economic partner organizations, et cetera, et cetera. What we are saying is if you can pay people to kill seals, you can pay them not to kill seals.
Mm-hmm.
The argument here is that the world will be a better place. Canadians will have better employment if they are given alternate livelihoods. The genesis of this hunt, in significant part, is the destruction of the cod fishery. And thousands and thousands of people who are involved in that cod fishery are out of work because the fishery has been so mismanaged that that the Canadian government has simply had to close it.
Well, they claim, that's one of the claims, that these seals have eaten all the cod.
Well, although it's interesting, I had an interview today with another gentleman who claimed that, well, there's no scientific proof. And, of course, that is our position. There is no scientific proof that killing the slaughtering seals will help the cod. And though there are some claims made in that direction, when you pin scientists down, the ecosystem up there is so complex that they simply don't know the answers.
Well, I don't think it's just the ecosystem either. I just came back from Maine and off that coast. I used to fish there 25 and 30 years ago, and it almost got, your arms would ache for how many fish you could haul in. There's no fish there now at all, and there's not a single person in that region that attributes to anything other than overfishing.
That's right.
Yeah.
And that's the way the scientific community in general views what's happened in eastern Canada. The fact is, however, a lot of displaced workers, the Canadian government, rather than train them for viable employment that will last them into the 21st century, has encouraged them to slaughter seals.
Now, you used the word earlier, and I think you'd maybe could talk about that a little. You said hunt. Actually, there's not a hunt for baby seals at all, is there?
No. These seals are either clubbed or shot. The Canadian government is saying, oh, well, it's not so brutal and bad if they aren't clubbed. But if they are shot, the struck and loss rate is significantly higher. And that is a tragedy at every level, even more. So it doesn't matter to us as the HSUS whether these seals are, in fact, clubbed or whether they are shot.
Mm-hmm.
The death is brutal, it's inhumane, it's wasteful. A few years ago, they did a study where there was an estimate by independent veterinarians that up to 40% of the animals were still fully conscious when they were skinned. Still alive and conscious when they were skinned.
My guest on the Peter Werby Show is John Grandy. He's a senior vice president of the Humane Society of the United States. And we're talking about the Canadian government's decision to allow up to a million seals to be brutally clubbed or shot. Again, there's a full-page ad in the New York Times, which is extraordinarily striking. It's pretty hard. I think a lot of people could take some lessons from how to present a subject in graphic detail. A few years ago, I'm trying to put some dates on this, Captain Paul Watson, who is the wild man of marine animal protection.
that's a good way to describe him.
And a Canadian citizen, and he was one of the people that was very active in the decision to abolish seal hunts. What are we saying? Was that 30 years ago, was that?
Well, it began being abolished in the mid-late 70s, and for most people, I think most everybody thought it ended about 20 years ago.
That's what I was going to say. Now, he went to the Ile de Magdalene, the Magdalene Islands.
That's correct.
You know this story.
Well, I don't know it in the detail you do. I knew he went there.
He went there, and he proposed to the sealers that they could make these coats out of by combing the seals, not killing them, by letting them get to a certain age, and then they had these combs that would essentially take this hair, could then be knitted into these fabrics. He was attacked by a mob of 300 sealers who broke down his door and almost lynched him. I mean, really, this was mob violence that almost resulted in his death, only because the actor Martin Sheen was there. Did finally the Quebec police intervene and save him? They had to take him off the island. So you're dealing with a subculture that has a lot of investment in this, beyond just seemingly the economic issue of jobs, as you indicated.
All of the things you say are correct, and there is that sort of group hysteria that people get into, and I'm sure that's what happened in that case. The fact is now that calmly and quietly, we hope that the Canadian government will take a leadership position and begin to train these people for alternative livelihoods and get away from the brutality evidenced by this incredible slaughter. It's just incredible.
Dr. Grandy, the Humane Society of America does such amazing amount of work and is very, very widespread in what kind of activities, legislative, on the ground.
Everything. That's correct.
And yet you're not going to be called the wild man of animal protection, yet you operate in a very, very effective manner.
Thank you.
This almost seems out of character. I mean, I'm glad to see it, and I think it's an extraordinarily effective ad in the manner that is. Let me just tell people, there is actually a very, very difficult to view photograph of a man about to hit this little seal. This seal reminds me of my little dog, actually. And in red it says, "Oh Canada, how could you?" Like almost graffitied across, and then says what you can do, and it says contact the Prime Minister's office, Jean Chrétien, and the Canadian Tourists Commission, telling them that you are not going to vacation in Canada or buy Canadian products until they stop this hunt. In many ways, this, am I right? This is in a sense a departure for the Humane Society, the kind of style.
In some ways it is. On the other, I have to say it grew out of months and months. We wrote the Canadian government months ago and have done innumerable meetings on this. And what the result you see is the recognition that the only way we can, from the United States, can influence Canadian policy is tell our citizens to impact the Canadian government. The Canadian government is the only one that can stop this. And to impact the Canadian government in ways that let them know how seriously the American public, their chief economic engine, views this blatant and horrible destruction.
Really?
So you're absolutely right. The Humane Society of the United States doesn't do many things like this, but we have very carefully researched this. And we've concluded that this is the best way we can do it. We've announced through our website, I don't know whether you've told people, it's www.protectseals.org. And what we've announced is a 3-year campaign to raise $1 million a year for 3 years, devote every penny of that money to advertising. And we think if we can put that together, we can end this.
This is very tough on me. I actually spend a good number of my vacations in Canada. It's very close. In Detroit, we often eat in Windsor, which is just across the river. But this is horrific. I think I'm going to write, as you suggest here, the Canadian Tourism Commission and tell them what I think. Yeah.
Well, I think that, it seems to me, is the answer.
Yeah.
And if we do that, that will do it.
Well, thank you so much for being with us. And as you said, you can go to actually, there's a number of websites on here, protectseals.org or hsus.org for the Humane Society of the United States. And thank you for alerting us to this. And if it wasn't for private organizations, the non-governmental organizations of the world, who knows what this planet would be like? It's bad enough as it is with even all of our good efforts. But so thank you so much for your efforts.
Well, thank you very much, and thank you for your support.
All right. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
And that was John Grandy. He's a senior vice president of the Humane Society of the United States. Yeah, when I heard that story, and let me think. I don't think I was doing this broadcast. We've been doing this broadcast since October of 2000. But the attack on Captain Paul Watson of the Sea Shepherd Conservation Society, and by the way, I think we're going to have him on tomorrow. I don't think Jalene Jordan is with us. Jalene, are you here yet? No. Okay. And in fact, Steph, maybe you can dial her up if she's not already on there, and we can bring her back into this discussion. But Captain Paul Watson, the Sea Shepherd Conservation Society, was one of the people responsible for the ban on the killing of baby seals. And Jalene, are you there? I thought I heard you. Anyway.
Hello, Peter.
Hi. And I was talking about the killing of baby seals and Captain Paul Watson, and he would go out and they would do things like spray paint the pelts so that they were worthless. But
beautiful.
One time these sealers grabbed him and took him aboard this ship, and they took this little live baby seal, and this guy just right in front of Watson split the little seal's head. You know, just. You wonder where these people are coming from. Hey, this is from Kelly. He or she is, what is Kelly now? I'm losing track. Kelly would be a man or a woman, you think?
How's it spelled? Does it matter?
K-E-L-L-Y.
I don't think it really matters. I don't know.
Because a friend of mine has a son named Kelly. So I think Kelly as a girl is E-Y. Anyway. This isn't even to me.
I know Kelly's without the E.
Really? This isn't even to me. It's to you. Jalene, your sincere laugh and displays of disgust at the private Lynch CBS MTV thing made my day.
Well, good.
Yeah, and he or she says, I love war pigs.
Okay.
All right.
Rock on.
Yeah, I'm surprised.
We'll be rocking with it.
I mean, we put it on there because we like it. That's War Pigs by Black Sabbath and Ozzy Osbourne. But we thought, man, maybe everybody's fried on this tune. But and I was saying to John Lucas, our production director, that maybe we ought to cut it down a little, take some of the verses out. But, hey, the people have spoken.
They have.
They have. All right, War Pigs it is. It stays. All right, Peter Werby, Jalene Jordan, we'll be back with our final segment. You give us a call if you'd like to get on the air. 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937.
Nice drive, Jim.
Thanks. You know, I wish my business plan was a straight. We just can't grow anymore with our current facility. I've looked at the price to build, but I'm afraid to spend the money.
Jim, I've known you since you've started your business. You succeeded because you made tough decisions and took risks.
Well...
Look, I had the same problem, but I called General Steel Corporation. The general helped me build my new office and warehouse, and I stayed within my budget. I couldn't believe the time and money I saved compared to traditional construction.
That's a steel building?
It sure is, but with the stucco and rock products provided by the general, you just can't tell. They engineered the building for this area and to fit my needs. When the economy rebounds, I'll be ready to gain market share.
Save time and money with a General Steel building. Call toll free 1-866-96-STEEL. Whether you need a 40 by 60 for under $13,000 or a 60 by 200 for under $49,000, call 1-866-96-STEEL. If you need space, you need the general. Call 1-866-96-STEEL today.
Do you want to own a computer but have less than perfect credit? Bad credit? No credit? No problem. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved. Guaranteed. You heard right. You're approved for a brand new name brand computer. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now. If you can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, you're already approved. Guaranteed. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now and tell us where you want your brand new name brand computer delivered. If you can afford $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, your brand new state-of-the-art PC will be on its way. Guaranteed. Bad credit, no problem. Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved for the computer of your dreams. Guaranteed. Call right now, 1-800-823-0157.
Hi, this is Peter Werby from the IE America Radio Network, wondering whether you've heard about In These Times magazine. A bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. Find out what you're missing. Visit them online at www.inthesetimes.com or call them toll-free at 1-800-827-0270.
The IE America Radio Network delivers progressive information and entertaining programming throughout the week and weekends. The Doug Steffen Talk Radio Countdown on Saturday mornings features the top 10 stories and issues in talk radio across the USA, followed by the Bobby Likas Car Clinic. If it has to do with your vehicle, Bobby Likas will tell you how to fix it the right way. The home improvement experts in Home Improvement USA will answer your home fix-up questions. And if you like antiques, you'll love Antique Talk with Christopher Kent. Pet owners, you can ask your questions about your loving pets during Talking Pets with John Patch. Sunday mornings begin with the best of Doug Steffen Talk Radio Countdown, followed by the employee's lawyer, Stephen Sack. For you high-tech wizards, Into Tomorrow with Dave Graveline will keep you informed with the latest news on today's technology. Ramblin' with Ramsey will update you on the hot vacation spots around the world. Then the real animals come out during the live Sunday evening call-in show, Animal Talk.
It's a cross between Wild Kingdom and Saturday Night Live.
Mark Hannes, Dr. Brad Davis, and Donna Blumba will answer listeners' questions about pets from fish to feline. To get these programs, call 1-800-397-8255. For now, listen to us live on the web at ieamericaradio.com.
The Peter Werby Show.
My website, peterwerby.com. Somebody wrote in, and in fact, they called in to that 800 number, some right wing nutball, and he's going, between every sentence, he says, anywho, you really suck, and anywho, your website looks like it was put together by a teenager.
Perhaps he's homophobic. Oh my gosh.
Well, he did say something about it. He says, anywho, your photograph of you smiling, maybe one of your friends is tickling you, if you know what I mean.
Oh my.
I didn't know what he meant. But you know, and I thought I ought to try to make it a little more professional, right? But you know how ornery I actually am, right? And so I'm going to keep it like that. I'm going to have it this mess because what you're supposed to have is buttons.
Screw texture them. Or something like
screw
that.
Screw them. That's what I said. I'm keeping it messy.
The Peter Werby Show, weekdays from 2 p.m. till 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
The Peter Werby Show. Call and talk to Peter at 1-800-TALK-YES. Call 1-800-825-5937. Here's Peter.
And here's Julian Jordan as well. That's the Ramones. And we were talking a lot about the music that had been on this program. Ted writes in that he likes War Pigs by Black Sabbath, right? He says, how about Master of Puppets by Metallica?
You know, we had that on here at one point. And it's good.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm for it.
Yeah, sure. God, that new Metallica is just
He's another Metallica anti-war song, One, inspired by the film. Johnny Got His Gun, sure. Clips of the film in the music video. I didn't know that. Yeah. Let's see. Wait a minute. I think we're going to solve something here. Yeah, now, this is our kind of guy, right? Remember we were saying, is Kelly a man or a woman that wrote in?
Yeah.
He says, not that it matters, but I'm a guy.
Oh.
Yeah.
Hello,
right.
Kelly boy.
Hi. Right. Hey, remember the RAVE Act? That's, I can't remember what the hell it all stands for now, but reduce some, do they even have it here?
I can't remember.
Anyways, it's the Illicit Drug Anti-Proliferation Act, and it was introduced last year, but two of the original co-sponsors withdrew their support because they feared it would send innocent business owners to jail. And what that means is that if you allow, like, some rock event at your venue
and Normal is there
and some drug is used there, that they can close your business.
Yeah.
And already it's happening. And this right. This is Joseph Biden, a Democrat of Delaware, introduced the RAVE Act. And here's what we got from our friends at the Drug Policy Alliance. Only 2 months after the RAVE Act was passed by Congress, it has been used by the Federal Drug Enforcement Administration to intimidate owners of a Billings, Montana venue into canceling a combined benefit for the Montana chapter of the National Organization for Reform of Marijuana Laws and Students for a Sensible Drug Policy. One of the biggest reasons that the Drug Policy Alliance waged this national campaign because they feared it would be used to shut down political events like this. And the DEA agents, the drug enforcement agents, actually went up to these bands and to the venue and said, hey, you could face a fine of $250,000.
You know, I think Joseph Biden needs to smoke a big fat joint and run around and get all crazy, take his clothes off, get real primitive, Joe.
Yeah. This, and he is on Planet Bush, somewhere out past Uranus.
Oh, you know it, Peter.
Thank you, Jalene Jordan. Thank you, Steph. Thank you, John Lucas. We'll be back tomorrow.
You've been listening to The Peter Wuerbich Show on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
Hi, I'm Steven Sack, and I host the Employees Lawyer Show on IE America Radio Network. We take calls from people all over the United States, and we help them in their job problems. So if you ever wondered what job rights you have and how to fight back, I'm the guy to call.
Listen to Steven at his new time on Sundays from 9 a.m. until noon and rebroadcast from 9 p.m. till midnight.
For more information on my show or other shows on the IE America Radio Network, go to IEAmericaRadio.com. It's the best advice I can give.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and for 2 hours every day, I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls. We'll be talking about the stories behind the stories in the day's news. That's the Tom Hartman Program, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
You're listening to The Peter Wuerbich Show. Family Talk with Mike Riera is next on IE America Radio Network.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Darren Copeland. Authorities in the former Russian province of Georgia have found highly radioactive materials in a container of lethal mustard gas in a taxi cab in the Georgian capital of Tbilisi. Police searched the taxi late last month and found two metal boxes filled with strontium-90 and cesium-137. Both are byproducts of nuclear fission and could be used in the production of a dirty bomb. One container was covered in Russian and English writing and weighed at least 170 pounds. A spokesman for the Georgian police say both containers were probably bound for Turkey to be resold. The cab driver was unaware of the dangerous nature of the cargo in his taxi, but two other suspects are in custody. Worcester County District Attorney John Conte says investigators do have suspects in the murder of Massachusetts teenager Molly Bish, but he won't name anyone. Cush has always believed that the perpetrator is a local person. State police continue to search the woods of Palmer for any clues in the crime. Molly's skeletal remains were positively identified last week. State police have covered 40 acres so far, and they have